Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. Another Live Prophetic Talk Show, where we do it, where we talk about it. Welcome to the place, of grace. We want to share with you how to receive the grace of God, walk in the grace of God, live in the grace of God, knowing that we'll never quite get it probably perfect. And either if you're under the law, and if you don't do everything perfect, you have to be guilty of everything, or you walk by grace where you depend on the Lord to do it with you and through you and for you, totally strengthened by Him alone. And that's a big thing to learn to do, right? Yeah. We've become, number one, we got to know that we're helpless without Him. Jesus said, I could do nothing except what I see my Father do. And when we have that about us, friend, we're going to be conquerors. I mean, conquerors. It's going to be amazing. All right. Welcome to the show tonight. And we're here to minister to you personally and pray for you and bless you and believe God to open you up to whatever He has for you. Amen. And to cause you to help you walk in the grace of God. All right, we're going to take communion tonight and get ready for that. If you don't have your communion, get it together if you would. And let's get ready to take communion tonight together, a body of believers. Yeah. All right. Give me just a moment here. I'll be right back. We're here, and like I said, get your communion cup ready, and let's get ready to do that together so we can join together in spirit and in truth, and let the Lord show us kind of what's going on. All right. Okay. All right. All right. So we're going to share tonight whatever we get into here. Let's believe God for miracles, miracle understanding. One of the greatest miracles you could have right now, friend, is understanding what God's doing in your life. That would be a great miracle, right? Yeah, I think so. And if you understood what you're going through and why you're going through it, you know, that would be amazing. And so get ready for that. And God wants to show you what you're going through. You know, at least if you may not point out specifically what you're going through, but in so many words, you know, feed you what you need. Even though sometimes you're not sure that that's what you need. That's why we got to trust God to believe Him to speak to us through the shepherd's voice, which He's given to the shepherds, the under-shepherds under Christ, to help us to understand what we're going through, what's happening. And so when you start seeing that stuff, when you start understanding what's going on, that's really the greater miracle that you need, right? Sometimes it's better than a lot of things you could get. Is understanding, you know, what am I going through, and not just that, but to feed you the food, the specific food that you need to go through something. Like if you're eating too much veggies, not enough meat, you need a little bit of protein, then you need to be told, you know, hey, get a little more protein. You're going to be fine. That's what your problem is. You know, and if it's just that simple sometimes, you know, as far as spiritual protein or whatever, you know, then God begin to awaken you to what you need and feed you what you need. And getting fed what you need at the moment that you need it, friend, is the greatest thing that you can have, right? That's what shepherds are supposed to do. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. And so so that's what we endeavor to do here at PGN. It's not just have nice teaching, you know, to, you know, make you learn how to, you know, be nice to your, you know, just your loved ones and be and share Jesus a little bit here and there and try to teach you things. I mean, that's all great and wonderful, and it's awesome. But if I'm not feeding you, if the Lord Jesus through me and through your pastor, through your leaders, through your apostles and prophets and teachers are not feeding you what you need to go through what you're going through, then what good is it? What good is the food you're getting? What good is the storehouse that you're getting your, quote, food from? Just because you're getting Bible teaching, you know, it's great to have Bible teaching. It's great to have good teaching about things. But if all you're getting is carrot juice bad for you? No. Carrot juice, I mean, I heard a testimony not too long ago, just recently, about a lady who had breast cancer, and started drinking clean, pure carrot juice, and her breast cancer went away. I mean, you know, you can't just live on carrot juice because you turn orange. Literally, I've had friends do it. I've had a friend one time who found out carrot juice is good for him. This is back years ago. And they found out carrot juice is good for him, so they gave it to their kids all the time. They couldn't figure out why their kids were turning orange. Yeah. So, you know, we need a balanced meal, but we also need to get what we need. If you need carrot juice and all you're being told to do is eat broccoli and, you know, that kind of thing, and that broccoli is not the ingredient that you need to heal yourself, then what good is it? Oh, we teach the principles of the Lord God Almighty from the Word of God. You know, and that's awesome. We need that. If you need to know that you need carrot juice added to your meal, and all you get is broccoli and chicken or fish or whatever you're getting, and, you know, a little fruit here and there, but you're not getting the very thing that's going to counteract the problem that you're having, whether it's a physical problem, an emotional problem, a financial problem. If you're not getting the, you know, the information that you need, you know, then what are you going to do? You're going to keep going to be sick, and you're going to die eventually, right? So you need food. You know, the Bible says give your tithe to the storehouse. The storehouse isn't just a place where you get teaching and have somebody called an apostle and a pastor or a teacher teaching you the Bible. You know, if they're teaching you what you need for today, if they're able to hear from God and feed you the things that are affecting your life today and feed you that and give you what you need, that's a storehouse. But if they're just teaching you Bible and they're not picking certain things out of the Word of God, finding things in the Word of God specifically to say, hey, you know, focus a little bit more on the carrot juice part of the Word of God, because this is going to help somebody. I don't know who this is, but you need to drink more Holy Ghost carrot juice, you know, and you're going to get free from breast cancer, or you're going to get free from emotional things that have hurt you in your tender spots, you know, breasts or tender spots, you know, and so you need that carrot juice to heal your wounded emotions and feelings in this particular area, you know. And if you're not getting that teaching or that revelation or that now word, the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that is telling you, hey, you know, this is what you need for this season in your life, you know, then what good is your teaching doing you, other than you can brag on you got the best Bible teacher in the whole world who's teaching all this great stuff, but yet you're dying of cancer, breast cancer, because you're not being told, you know. So you see what I'm saying? So the storehouse that we hear in the Bible about is the storehouse is talking about what gives you what you need to live for the day and the hour that we're in. What day and hour are we in? If you're talking and giving information about things that were going on 20 years ago, well, that's fine. But what about today? What about specifically finding scriptures in the Bible and talking about things prophetically that are actually going on today and going to happen in the future? Because if you don't know where you are, where we are biblically, how are you going to help people face the new mountain that's going to come up? It's not the old mountain, it's the new one, right? So the storehouse, a true God-given storehouse, is a storehouse where you're getting fed what you need, not just something, not just something, you know, is broccoli good for you? Well, of course it's good for you. Well, is the Word of God, the way we teach it, good for you? Of course it's good for you. Broccoli is good for you. The Word of God we teach, the broccoli word, is a really good word. But, you know, and yeah, do you need to eat broccoli regularly? Yeah. Spiritually and physically too? Yeah. But if you have a special problem and that's not being met, here you are right in the middle of a Bible-believing, you know, quote-unquote church and ministry that you're dying of breast cancer. Oh, just keep getting broccoli word. This word is healthy. Just keep eating the steak of the meat of the Word of God. You're going to be fine. And, yeah, do you need that stuff? Yeah. But guess what? If you have something in your life that you need to attack that particular problem and that's not being brought into your life, then what's going on? It's not really a storehouse for you. A storehouse is something that brings what's in store for you. What's in store for you? What's in the storage house for you? Because God has a storage house that has everything you need in it. It's not just some basic principles. You know, let us move on toward the basic principles of the body and move into, you know, the meat of the Word of God. Well, the reason they're so immature, the reason that when life starts hitting them upside the head, they weren't prepared for it. Why? Because the storehouse, the church, the ministry they're getting fed, it has not prepared them for it. They are not ready. Oh, they're strong in every other way. They're making a nice living. They got a nice family going on. But all of a sudden, you know, we have something go on in our country that wasn't supposed to go on, or in our world. Something's supposed to happen that didn't happen. They were taught wrong in the Bible, and they were caught off guard. It's going to destroy them. They're going to be caught off guard. So that's why the prophetic shepherd ministries are so good, and there's plenty of them out there. You know, we need to believe God to pray that God raises up, you know, ministries. That's what we're believing God for PGN to be. I know we're just getting started, basically. We're just getting going, basically. And we're just learning how to feel our way through. You know, we're getting other people on and teaching and different things, approaching things from a different perspective. But, you know, we're going to believe God to feed people and nurture people in every area. So if they're ready for what's about to happen, not for what happened 20 years ago, this happened, you know, in case that happens again, that particular way, here's what you do to get ready for that. And you're getting ready for that thing that's about to happen has nothing to do with any of that, and you're not ready. So that's why, you know, getting the storehouse word of the Lord, the storehouse teaching, the storehouse revelation, prophetic doesn't mean you're always prophesying to everybody, giving them personal word. Prophetic means flowing with the times and the seasons that you're in, preparing people for what's about to happen that they've never had happen before, that's never really been focused on in their generation. It's in the Bible, but in their generation, it's never happened before. So the teaching they're getting, the ministry they're getting, is not preparing them for that future event and those future events that are about to unfold. They're looking in all the wrong directions. Why? Because they're not in the right storehouse. One of the places give your tithe to the storehouse. You don't give your tithe to the poor and the needy and to your friend, your uncle, your brother, your sister, and your best friend that are in need. No, it goes to the storehouse. Why? Because that's where you're, if you're not getting the food that we're talking about, then, you know, find a place where you can give to the storehouse, the real storehouse. That's really giving you what's in store. Storehouse is like a store. It's whatever you need. When you get a diagnosis about something, you go in that storehouse, we're fresh out of that, or we don't know anything about that. No, the storehouse of heaven, the revelation, the word of the Lord from heaven has everything that you need. It has what you need to prepare you for the future. Oh, do we need to be saving up water and food and all this kind of thing? Well, you know, we can have a little bit of that, but the truth is, no, don't focus on that. Don't be motivated by fear. Yes, store up some water, store up a little bit of food, but don't get obsessive compulsive and spend your savings on getting that when that's not what's going to solve the problem. So you're going to have all this food stored up and all these things going on, and, yeah, you might need them off and on here and there, but to save your life and to do what you're called to do,
It has nothing to do with it, and yet we're being taught these things and told these things that are not the point of the matter for the time and the season that we're in. You know, I don't know what's ahead unless God shows me. I personally can't prepare you for that unless God prepares me and shows me. If he doesn't show me, then I don't know. But that's why we, you know, pray together, we believe God together, show us God what we need. Sometimes what you need isn't just good biblical teaching, you know, as far as people get really caught up into, are you getting good biblical teaching? Yeah, but you know what? There's some things that there's a lot of different things going on in my life, you know, and yeah, that's all good. But what about what I need for what I'm going through and what's about to happen in the earth? Are we looking at all the wrong things? Yeah, this is going to happen and that's not going to happen and it's going to happen and that's not going to happen. We're looking over here instead of looking at in the right direction with what God is saying, what the word of the Lord is saying is going to happen and preparing for that. Because those that are prepared and ready, like the five wise virgins, they were prepared for a delay when the five foolish virgins weren't prepared for any room for mistakes, any room for delay. There was no room for delay. The Bible says the bridegroom was delayed. Friend, this is going to be the season of delay. What do you do when you get in a delay? Do you freak out, panic? Well, if you do, it's okay. We can overcome it. We want to prepare you for what? We want to prepare you to get more oil. Oh, what do you want to preach? Getting more oil messages for, Randy? That's starting to scare us. Get more oil for what? You mean we might have a delay? Yeah, we might have a delay. In fact, we're going to be in a delay season. Now, when I say a delay season, I'm talking about a delay from what people have believed that's going to happen. So if they look to what they have believed and what they've been taught, and it's not in line with what God is actually doing, and they're not prepared, they don't have oil for that, they're going to be caught without oil. They're not going to be ready. It's going to be delay for them because they were told, yeah, this is going to happen first. You're going to have a pre-tribulation rapture, and that's going to happen, so get ready for that. We're going to all be out of here. And then they don't carry enough oil. They don't have enough oil. They haven't been taught that they need oil to go through that time. We don't even need any oil for that because we're not going to be here for that. We're going to be caught up and caught out. You don't need no oil for that. So they get here, and all of a sudden, whoops, woohoo! What happened? We have a little delay going on. 7 more years, and we need some oil. Yeah, but they don't have any. And they're going to try to take it from us that are prepared and ready. We're going to say, you know, we try to tell you. We tried to tell you, bring more oil. We tried to tell you, but you just were so stuck on your tradition that you weren't ready. And friend, that's literally what it's going to be like. Literally, it's going to be like that. It's going to be absolutely shocking and amazing. And we need prayer constantly to make sure that we're hearing from God and, you know, that we're prepared for what's really going on. That's why I want to change. I'm thinking about changing the name of the ministry at least add to it what's really going on. Do I know what's really going on? Sometimes. Yeah, some things. But I want to know what's really going on with everything. I'm extremely curious. And I'm asking God, what's really going on with everything? Right? I want to know. Don't you want to know? We all want to know. But if we're being told, oh, you don't need to worry about that time, that 7-year period, because you're not even going to be here for it. You don't need any extra oil. You're going to be just fine. But thank God the mothers and the fathers of the other five virgins, the wise ones, were wise because their mamas and daddy taught them, hey, get ready because you're going to go through some more things than you think. Have some extra oil. Thank God they had it. Thank God they had it. They were prepared. They were ready. Oh, no, that ain't going to happen. I'll rebuke you. You ever had your loved ones rebuke you before? No, that ain't going to happen. I rebuke you. Well, we've all had that happen a little bit, right? Yeah. We all get told that. Oh, that's not going to happen. You're just living in a fantasy world. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just have to see, and you know, and get your oil. Well, I don't need any oil for that. I'm going to be just fine. No problem. Everything's hunky dorky, and when the trouble comes, we're going to be out of here. So what do we need preparation for? We don't need that. No. No, we don't need that. Well, going to find out they are. They're going to be without. And we're going to kind of be, I hate to say, we're going to be kind of be in the realm of, I tried to tell you. I hate to say it, but I tried to tell you, and you wouldn't listen. I tried to tell you, but you weren't prepared. We tried to tell you. That's kind of like, you know, give us some of your oil, and we're going to say, well, you know, we tried to tell you. We did. We tried to tell you. We tried to prepare you. We tried to tell you, get more oil. Get ready. Well, we don't believe in that. That's that doctrine is, that's no good. It's not right. Right? Yeah, what does God do? He's going like, I love everybody. But you can't make people prepare for things. You just can't do it. All right. Let's see here where we're going. Thank you, Jesus. Just a moment here. Let me look at some things. All right, friend. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're not finished yet. Of course, we're going to continue to share the word a little bit more. We'll take a little break here and see what's going on. We have, in the last night's show, we're going to pray for, ask God to show us. So we have a few people here and there that are losing their hair, particularly women that are losing their hair. We've been asking God for answers for that, and we think we're on the road to having some of that. We'll talk about it, of course, in the future and let you know about some of this stuff that we get it as we go, as God gives us the grace. All right. Let's go here. Okay. Just a moment. Okay, give me just a minute here. I'll be right with you. All right. Somebody sent in an offering tonight saying the 5 red heifers are in Israel. Yeah. We've been talking about that, bro. Thank you for bringing that up. We're believing God to show us what's going on. And, yeah. All right. All right, get ready for communion tonight. And let's get ready to pray God for God's provision. You know, when we pray for provision, we're not just talking about money in particular. We're talking about, you know, whatever you need. Jesus provided not just us to have forgiveness of sin, right? Most people know that. He has provided for us to have, you know, whatever we need. And so God is trying to teach us that. We've been trying to teach us that for quite a while.
I mean, that's kind of not a new thing, but it's something that I think that we, it just takes a while to get a hold of that, that Jesus died for every area, he gave his life for every area of our life, to provide for us in every area. And so, watching that happen and having it happen into your life is just a whole different thing where it actually happens. And so we want to learn how to activate that, how to come into agreement with it right, how to be a part of that, partake of that. And so, you know, I don't know everything about it. I know a lot of things. There's a lot that I don't know, and I want to know more. I want to know what God is really saying, not what everybody thinks, right? I got a lot of ideas what I think things mean. I want to know what they really mean, and I don't know what they mean in every area, and I want to know. And I'm trying to be – I want to be very honest and open about my – you know, need for, you know, if God doesn't show me, I just don't know it. And I think Joseph had that same spirit about him. I want to have the same spirit he had and Jesus had, but I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. And but coming to that place of I can do nothing without him is a place that most of us don't live. And that's why Paul the Apostle was given that thorn in the flesh, to humble him, to teach him to live off the grace of God. Well, living off the grace of God, friend, is living off something other than your own strength, right? And that's why we want to take communion, because we want to live off the provision that Jesus has made on the cross. When we take communion, you activate the understanding of that. You activate the covenant. You come into agreement with it, saying, Jesus, you are my source. You are my life, and without you, I can't do this. But to say it is one thing. To do it, to actually do it and mean it, that's what we all are looking for, right? We're all looking for that. When if it was so easy for Paul, then why did Paul get a thorn in the flesh? Right? To teach him to live off the grace of God, unmerited, undeserved favor. Right? Paul had to do that. And I don't know about you. I think that I need lots of help, right? I need lots of help. So, so we got to get a hold of that. We're going to learn from that. We're going to grow in that and learn how to do that and make it real in our life and not just something we talk about or we say, but that we actually live and work and do. And I think we're doing pretty good at that. I think God is really helping us. We're really starting to come into agreement with that and find out how this is all working and how to live our life in Christ Jesus and make the scripture literally come to pass where it says, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. It's about us doing it, but it's doing it through Christ. All right. Yeah. All right, I'm getting information from friends. I think this is Glenn sending. I think Glenn is sending this information about the Ben Gurion for Israel, and to bring all 70 nations straight from the airport to the Third Temple. Yeah, I know about that. That is so awesome, dude. So glad you. Thank you for bringing that up. This was also, you know, they're building that rail system to take people straight from the airport, which I've been at that airport only once, well, twice to leave to. Straight from the airport, yeah, to rebuild the temple. We're getting closer to the major end time policies. Amen, bro. We've been talking about that big time. Thank you for bringing that up and confirming that even a little more. All right. So, praise God. Wow. So we were talking about ministry that feeds us what we need for now, and that's what prophetic ministry does, in not just a prophet or prophetic ministry specifically, but people who flow in the Spirit are prophetic. They're prophetic. They flow with what God is saying. Their messages, when they pastor you and preach to you, their messages have within it the right now word, the preparing you for what's going on now and what's about to happen, and teaching you the right things. But if you're being taught the wrong things, friend, oh, we're all going to be out of here, then you're not going to have oil. You're not going to have it a full to go through. You're not going to be prepared. Yeah. That's why we, you know, very strongly, very boldly tell people,
prophesying to them what's really going to go on. So they will get really ready and not play those religious head games that go on. And people end up, you know, the reason I'm concerned about not telling people the truth is because I don't want them to be caught with no oil in their land, right? And then they miss out. Is that what you guys, do y'all care about that? Of course you do. And so do I. I care about it very much. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I've been on both sides of that, and I know how, you know, what ministries teach. I know what they think, because I've talked to them, and they've tried to convince me over and over again over the years. And so I know exactly how they think. And so we want to prepare people what is really going on and what's really happening. Amen. Yeah, so that's what we're working on, all that. We're believing God to show us. All right. Good to be here tonight. Wow. All right. There's so much to talk about. I have a little bitty nuggets I want to share with you. If you're calling in for the first time, kind of inform you kind of a little bit on what's going on. Talk about the storehouse words. You know, the reason the Bible says bring your tithe into the storehouse isn't not just about getting money to church. It's about telling you specifically that your tithe or your 10% that belongs to God doesn't belong to anybody else but to God, the storehouse. And when you do that, why is he saying, you know, bring your tithe? Because a tithe is holy. It's sanctified. It's set apart. And you bring your tithe to the storehouse. The storehouse isn't just a place that's called a church where they're teaching Bible and teaching maybe good Bible. But are they teaching you and preparing you for what is and what is to come? And if they're not doing that, friend, then you're not going to be ready. So it's not a real storehouse. A storehouse is they have in store what's in store for you. And a storehouse is a store that has everything you need to prepare you for your future. And if they're teaching you things that are not going to be in the future, then you're going to be looking at all the wrong things and you're not going to be prepared for it. That's the scary part. And that's the part that concerns me, is that very thing right there. So pray for me as I do my best to shepherd the flock as far as, you know, being a storehouse that prepares people for what's really going on instead of some fantasy land of things that have been tradition, have been taught for many years that are not in the Bible, that are not of God, not even close. And yet we have people that believe some pretty amazing fantasy things that look like they're in there and they look like they're in the Bible. They really look like they're there. And so we have to take the blinders off and ask God to show us. And it's only by his mercy that he's opened up my eyes, right? Literally opened up my eyes. And I'm so thankful because I'm broken. I need him. Without him, I'm not going to make it. But with him, we will do awesome, mighty things. Ooh, we're going to be talking about some really amazing things. I'll get some revelation. I woke up this morning with the Holy Spirit preaching to me or revealing to me. I don't think it was necessarily preaching. He was teaching me. It's a different thing when he teaches. He was teaching me about how that in the Garden of Gethsemane, how that Jesus came really close, if you will. I don't know how close he came, to not being in agreement with the Father. Because they're all three one, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all three one. Now, some teachings, the United Pentecostal people teach you that Jesus is the Father and Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and you know, it's just totally wrong, totally not God. It looks like it in the Bible. It's like a lot of things look like it, but they are one. But the Son is the Son, and the Father is the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. There's three in one. But what the big thing is that they're in total agreement with one another. Now they're in total agreement with everything. You know, there's not like some in marriage we talk about, well, we agree to disagree. They don't agree to disagree, right? The Godhead does not agree to disagree. And the Lord woke me up this morning speaking to me about this, about how that in the Garden of Gethsemane was the closest the Godhead came to being no more unified. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't have happened, but when you see it and when I talk about it, it just kind of blew my mind. I mean, I never even realized how Jesus was battling with coming into agreement with the Father, right? I mean, he did it, and it's, we can never say he wouldn't have, but if he was battling, that meant when the Bible talks about a battle being a real battle, then it was a real battle. He was struggling three times. Shows you how the big struggle. If he would have come out of agreement with the Father and said, you know what, I think I'm going to stay, and we're going to keep having miracles, signs, and wonders, you know, he would have separated himself from the Father and been out in his own strength and in his own abilities, like a lot of Christians are, doing, quote, God's work, but not doing it in the strength that he gives or in the will of the Father, or the doing things from the calling of God, the purpose of God, but just doing it kind of because, you know, it's in the Bible. We're doing it because it's in the Bible, instead of doing it because God's called you to do it. It's a big difference. And Jesus came really close to coming out of agreement. And, you know, I mean, you just wait till you hear what I heard about that. It was like mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. Wow, how close, I mean, wow. And why this in the Bible, I never saw it on that level, in that perspective before. But we're going to be talking about it soon. All right, so what do I want to get into now? Where do I want to go? Jesus, thank you. Okay. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. I have a lot of things and notes that I get questions about, and God gives me some answers about them. And all right, just to go ahead and take communion, let's go ahead and stop everything and do that, and then we'll kind of see where we go from there. Where did my bread go? No, I had my bread just a minute ago. Y'all, where did I put it? I still knocked it off. Probably in my lap. All right, y'all, hang on a second. Yeah, I found it. Trying to hide from me. All right, awesome. So I got my bread and my cup. So ready to take communion if you would. And let's believe God to continue to bring us to the storehouse of heaven, and where he's feeding us what we need now. We're having steak and potatoes and broccoli and, you know, having a pretty well-rounded meal, and he says you need carrot juice to take care of a certain issue in your body that nothing else will. Then we want to be able to yield to that. We want to be able to yield to whatever it is that we need to focus on to prepare us, not only to help us get through what we're going through, but also to prepare us for what's ahead. And that's truly the storehouse ministry. That's why he says bring your tithe into the storehouse, because the storehouse is feeding you what you need. It's not just there to look pretty and be a store you go to, you know, like going to a shop or just whatever, but it's there to get you what you need, not only for to live today, but to prepare for the future of what's really going on. Right, what's really going on. So God's going to show us that stuff's going to be amazing. And I want to take communion on that. That's the provision of the Father, the provision of the Lord. We want that. I want that. We want to be connected to that. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and get ready for some of this stuff. 11, verse 23. All right, if you got your communion with you right there, if you're ready, let's lift up the bread, if you would, and we thank you, Jesus, for Paul the Apostle, the one who was getting information for what we need for the future through communion, the one who had the storehouse bread, the storehouse food, the storehouse connecting us to the storehouse revealer, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we bless, we break, we eat. Thank you, Lamb of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for your precious body, Jesus. All right. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink, friend. Thank you, Lamb of God, for being our lamb, for being the food that we need when we need it. Thank you, Jesus, for feeding us, giving us our daily bread, the specific food that we need for that day. Hallelujah, that we are connected to the daily bread, the Word of God, the body of Jesus, the storehouse of heaven that has in it what we need when we need it. And we thank you, Jesus, for that blessed hope of trusting you, knowing that you are coming, and we are preparing the way for you, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Wow. And Lord, I thank you for people who have allergies. In Jesus' name, things in your body that create havoc in your body, I speak peace be still to you in Jesus' name. I command those things to stop and dry up. We break the power of them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for destroying that destructive force in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for opening up their system to being delivered from every infirmity, every iniquity, every sickness, every disease, in Jesus' name, to be loosed from your infirmity in the name of Jesus, to be loosed from your infirmity by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Be loosed. In Jesus' name, be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name. Be fed. Jesus in his body is the bread, is the thing you need to heal and fix your body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, eat from the body of Jesus, which has everything you need in it, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Amen. Amen. People that have problems with demonic things, things that you keep doing that you wish you weren't doing, but that you keep doing them because you're in bondage to a demon. I command that demon to come out of you now, the spirit of lust, I command you to come out now, that spirit of images, of unclean images that try to penetrate your mind, images of horror, images of murder and hate that try to take hold of you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that those spirits are bound and cursed at the root and cannot function. Come out in Jesus' name and be delivered by the power of Jesus. Pain, spirits of pain, be broken in Jesus' name. I command spirits of pain to come out. I command spirits of addiction to come out in the name of Jesus. Devils of fear and torment, come out in Jesus' name. I loosen you now by the Spirit of God. You are bound as you go in the name of Jesus. You will not torment the precious, lovely body of Christ. Hallelujah. You will not. You cannot. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. at peace. I speak peace to your storm. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Addictions to food. In Jesus' name, I break those addictions. You're not getting the love you need. You're not getting the nurturing that you need, and you become addicted to food. Food comforts you. Yeah, I know about that one. In the name of Jesus, I command that addiction to be broken off you and that you get nurtured and loved. In Jesus' name, that God draws love to you to fulfill you and to nurture you and love you. In Jesus' name, be made whole by the Spirit of Jesus. By the Spirit of Jesus, be made whole. Be comforted by the Holy Spirit, the breasty one of God. He's the comforter. He's the breasty one. Hallelujah. The one who comforts, nurtures. The name of Jesus. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. And tonight, God, we thank you for preparing all our PGN friends and preparing me and preparing us for the future. In Jesus' name, for the future of what's about to happen. You're showing us the future so we can prepare for it. It's like telling people to prepare for, you know, arrows and bows, you know, arrows being shot. Instead, the arrows, the true interpretation of the arrow is atomic, you know, atomic energy. And so you prepare for arrows by building a little bit of wooden shed around you. But when the arrow is atomic energy, then it just kind of blows that away. So you're not prepared properly. Being prepared properly for what's really going on is everything. And God, we thank you that we don't know what's really going on until you tell us. We don't know. We know we don't know. We tell you we don't know. We agree that we don't know. We trust in you, Jesus, to help us, God. In Jesus' name. We fall prostrate before you, Lord Jesus. Without you, we can't do nothing. But with you, we can do all things. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right. All right, really good to be with you tonight. Thank you guys for checking in. Thanks for the information you send me. Some of it we already know, some of it we don't. I get told things. Today I got told, I think it was telling me some really cool things today about oil in Texas. I was not aware of it, but at one time, at some time, I think when Trump was in, that we were accessing more production, more oil than Saudi Arabia in Texas. Noel, thank you for the information. That was amazing. I did not know that. That was I didn't know that. She, God just guided her to that. And to show you one more thing about Texas, friend, oil is not bad. Oil's not bad. Going to electric cars, you know, it's fine. But oil, clean, good oil, and learning how to use oil, it's learning how to use what we have that matters. So we learn cleaner ways to use it. Of course we want to do that. You know, that's why the government wants people to change their oil, because when they don't change their oil, it gets unnecessary things, filth in the air. So, you know, sometimes we have stricter laws on some of those things. And especially when you have cities that have hundreds of thousands of cars, millions of cars, right? A car for every member of the family. But oil is not bad. And I have a feeling that you might want to consider investing in oil, at least in Texas, because I have a feeling, I think I gave that word, that was the word to Noel about investing in, and also Chris, oil, because oil is going to become, I think in the next few years, it's going to become a very powerful item. We're going to find that when we come out of the system, the one world system, and when they shut us off, or they think they're shutting us off, and we get turned on our own system, then we're going to have oil. And so don't get rid of your cars that run on oil and gas, right? Because they're going to be used. And when we separate from that system will no longer control us on environmental issues that are, when they use them,
their environmental issues, their, you know, the things that they come up with, they tell us that we can and can't do, and oppress us with it. We're not gonna have that, you know. Do we need to make our environment cleaner with good oil and all that? Yes. We're buying oil that that is unclean oil in other places now. What are we doing that for? Well, we got good, clean oil here in Texas. In Texas. Yeah, Texas. As some of you know, we talked about this. Today is Thursday. What night do we talk about this? Monday? About how that, you know, the red heifers, when Carmen sent me that video about that, and I think I've seen a little bit of it before, but I didn't really pay that much attention to it. So she sends me the article on the red heifers. And so, you know, we begin to realize that look at all what happened about the same within the same month, you know, here at PGN. You know, Nicole started teaching, you know, just out of the blue, not out of the blue, but she had a plan for a while, but just September the 4th, started teaching on the Antichrist. That was not, you know, what was about to happen was not, I mean, how could you know what's about to happen? She started teaching on that here on PGN. You know, we sent texts out to everybody every week, twice a week. 4 days later, the queen dies. Tanisha from Texas. I know you guys, hope you don't get upset with me talking about Texas. I'm just talking about, I talk about your state too if you tell me some things going on. But, you know, I think God is focusing on Texas for a reason. So Tanisha from Texas texts me that day at 12:44. And says, you know, Randy, I think that King Charles has something to do with the Antichrist. What do you think? And I go, well, we'll talk about it. So we talked about it on that show that night. That was on Thursday. That was on the day the queen died. And the night we had our Thursday night show. And we talked about how that the name of the Antichrist, they were all friends. I said the Antichrist and the Queen of England, you know, are all friends. They all know each other. You know, it doesn't make the queen evil or anybody else evil. It just means that they're friends. You know, that nobody knows he's the Antichrist. Nobody's going, oh, he's evil. Let's be friends with him. It's not about that. Nobody knows what he's going to be doing, right? It's going to all be revealed in the future. So they know him, right? And I'm talking about that on the show, that they finance the queen and the royal family and the Catholic Church and, you know, the London Bank and, you know, and so people started Googling it. Pretty soon they're all telling me, is it Nathaniel Rothschild? Some people say the Rothschild, Nathaniel Rothschild, the Rothschild thing. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm going, oh, my God. It's time to reveal this thing. So the next Monday on the show, we reveal the Antichrist, right? And then the fact that he has red hair that is not carrot red hair, but auburn red hair. You know, because we gave that hint years ago that he had red hair. You know, he was a prominent family, a Jewish, I believe he said Jewish. I don't remember that exactly, but a prominent family. And also that he had about 50 years old. That's pretty specific information. And so so that Thursday, that queen died. And then on the next Monday on the show, we gave you the name of the Antichrist. And then a few days later, we find out that the red heifers, which the red of the red heifer is auburn red, not just carrot red, just like the Antichrist hair is auburn red. Now, this connects. It sounds kind of funny, but you look at them. They're auburn brownish red hair on the heifers. And they've been put in Israel. We talked about all that last week. And and then we find out, and everybody knows, that the red heifers have to do with being able to get that red-headed Antichrist in the temple, and how that after 12 years or so of keeping it secret, revealed it on the 12th of September. Then a few days later, we find out that the red heifers, which are, you know, auburn red, are opening up the door for the auburn red Antichrist so he can come into the temple and take the temple. I mean, come on, that's amazing, right? Where's he come from? He's born in London. He was born in London, born in Europe. He's coming from, he's a European, born in London. His grandfather, because his grandfather had a bank, had the Rothschild Bank there in London. financed wars and financed the church and financed Israel. And yeah, then the queen dies, right? And we find out that she was a Christ proclaimer for 7 years of reigning as a Christ proclaiming queen. That as soon as she dies, her son, King Charles, comes in. He's a multi-faith person, which is what the Antichrist is too, in a sense. He's going to do his own thing, really, but he opens up as a multi-faith person, basically. And so, you know, all that just kind of came together. Boom, 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 boom. It all connects. You can't make this stuff up, friend. This is amazing. This is absolutely mind-boggling. It's not done in a little secret, in a little corner. It's all being done. All this information we're talking about is out in the open. Everybody's finding out about it. It's not just us saying, oh, yeah. And you can see how all this connects. It's just too amazing to even, like, what is going on? Mind-boggling. And the hurricane, I haven't talked about this yet, the hurricane that hit Florida was the worst hurricane in 100 years. Friend, this is going to be the hour we live in. Things are going to happen that haven't happened in many years, and then really some things are going to happen that haven't happened ever. Are you ready for that? Believe me, we need to get our oil in our lamps and then get extra oil in our lamps, friend. People are saying we're going to get out of here, and there's going to be what we're going to call the big delay. Guess what they're saying, the timing they're saying, that timing, when that timing doesn't happen, the pre-trib rapture doesn't happen, there's a delay, there's a lot of people going to be without oil. It is going to be sad. And they're going to be panicking, trying to get oil from resources and whatever. And we're going to have to say no. And the thing is that we try to tell them, right? And we got to make sure that that message gets out so that we can truly say here at PGN, we tried to warn you. We tried to tell you. That's why God is stirring the pot on this thing. That's why I'm having to be so blunt about it. It's not because I like to stir up trouble, because God is stirring this trouble up, y'all. This is God doing this. This isn't Randy Chandler. This is God. Why is he stirring it up? To get attention to this message, to say, hey, the food is very, please, get extra oil. There's going to be a delay. You think it's going to be now, but it's not. It's going to be. There's a delay coming. What does more oil mean? More oil is kind of like, I think that's a really good question. Who is that asking that? Cynthia? I think it's Cynthia. Thank you, Cynthia, for that question. Cynthia's asking, what does it mean in that reference to oil? Okay, here's one way that we look at oil in this particular scripture. What did they do? Let's just use the exact example I'm talking about right now. The pre-tribulation people think it's going to happen. They all talk about, we don't need to know what's going to go on during the tribulation because we're not going to be here. That's what they say, and you were raising that. That's right, you were raising that. So you know that's what they say. We don't care who the Antichrist is necessarily because we're not going to be here for it anyway. We don't care about any of that. What does that mean? In their minds, Cynthia, they're not prepared for it. So what happens when they find out that the temple's being built, the red heifers are there being built, and oh my God, the pre-tribulation rapture is not what they said it is, and what in their mind, their preparation is in your heart, in your mind, the scriptures you read, the doctrines that you feed off of, it feeds you in what you're being fed, the oil you're being fed, the anointing, the word of God, the way you're being taught is that, this is kind of a different way of saying it, but it's saying that we're not going to have to be here. We don't need oil for that. We don't need to be ready for that. So they were not prepared. They were not ready. Now we're going like, oh, my God, you know, these pre-tribulation people, most of the body of Christ believes that. They're going to be ticked off, to say the least, when they find out that they're not gone yet, and they're supposed to be gone like 3 months ago. Now it's 6 months ago, and they're still here. What are they doing? The preparation is that they believed that they didn't need to, you know, strengthen their heart and be strengthened for this and have the right belief that God can bring them through anything, that God can take them through anything, And the oil of God can take you through anything. You don't have to be afraid of the Antichrist or Goliath or any of them, these giants, because you're going to take the word of God. And if you're not taught that in the realm of the seven-year tribulation, that we don't need our oil, we don't need oil for this. We don't need to be here. We don't need teaching on this. We don't need understanding on this. So they don't have teaching and understanding about it. Therefore, they're not prepared. Their oil is their belief system and what they've been being taught, right? That they don't need oil. They don't need to prepare for the future because they're not going to be here. So what do I need oil for? What do I need strength for? What do I need to believe God for that for? Does that make sense? And if that didn't clear it up, just be honest with me. And, you know, we'll talk about it more in the future, but that kind of gives you a general view of understanding. It's what they're being fed. It's what they're being taught. They don't think they have to prepare for it. So therefore, mentally and emotionally, in their system, in their comfort zone with God. Okay, so that does help a little bit. Okay. And there's more to it than that, but you hit me right off. I wasn't prepared for that question specifically for tonight. But I think that thank you for asking it, and hopefully that was able to help some people understand, you know, is it actually oil, you know, that we're going to have, and I know you're not saying that, but people say, well, they really want to know what that is. And so that kind of tells you that if you're told that you'll never have cancer, oh, you'll never have cancer as long as you eat these particular foods. You don't have to worry about cancer. You don't have to prepare for cancer. You don't have to believe, you know, you don't have to be strengthened, you know, and be prepared for something. If something was to hit you, to be ready for it, because you know what? That will never happen to you. And this, all of a sudden, you start having pain. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you got cancer. You're going like, what? But if you've been taught and prepared that anything in life can hit you, you need to be prepared for anything in life that can hit you. Then when it hits you, yeah, it's shocking, but you already kind of have a foundation. Okay, my mama taught me, my daddy taught me to keep extra oil, be prepared for anything can happen. Listen to the Word of God, get into the Word of God, find out what the Word of God says about, you know, if anything hits you, you know, because we all think we understand. Nothing shall come nigh my dwelling, and we think that we understand that, but most people don't really understand that. It doesn't mean stuff's not going to hit you. It does not mean that you're not going to be hit with something. It means it's not going to take you down. It's not going to take you to the door of death, to the door of destruction. It's not going to destroy you. It's not going to take you to the door of destruction. You're not going to be destroyed. It doesn't mean you're not going to get sick and have an issue and have a problem. We're not. Oh, I thought you said that nothing would come nigh our dwelling. Let's see what Deborah and John, Deborah has to say here. Deborah has a interesting show. Says it's the truth. In the parables, the oil is in the wise virgin's lamp represents their righteous living and obedience. We each fill our own lamp, which represents our own life with our obedience and righteousness. Yeah. And, you know, it's also your belief system, because your righteousness has to do with your belief system. If you read the scripture and you interpret it as nothing's going to come nigh my dwelling, meaning nothing, and you're not prepared for in case something does hit you, if you're not prepared for, you know, a hard time, if you're not prepared for a time that Joseph went through years of not having any affection from his father, no family, no nothing, but God had built in him, he started teaching him how to prepare. And what was he used for? He was used to prepare people. Joseph was used in all of his life. He was taught how to prepare for things. When things go wrong, when things go bad, God built in within him this prepare, be ready, have your oil, be prepared, be ready for this, emotionally, mentally, and he had to learn it himself the hard way. So what happened? What did God do? He had him part of a drought that was going to come upon the whole earth, and prepared them for having food. Oh, we don't have to worry because we got plenty of food. The last day, we're going to be fine. But when Joseph interpreted the signs of the times through that dream correctly, instead of all the other false revelators or prophets or whatever, he said, you're going to have 7 years of blessing, so prepare for 7 years of drought. So if you prepare for it, when it comes, you're ready. And Joseph got them ready. They were prepared. They had food. They saved up a certain amount. They took a certain amount of every bit of the crop that came in during prosperity time. They took a certain amount of that crop and they put it in a storage tank. Like my dad used to run grain elevators. He was a manager of grain elevators in the heart of corn country and grain country. My dad ran them. I worked at it most of my teenage life. I worked there with my dad during harvest time. It was my whole life. It was farming and harvest, and my dad managed the grain elevator. So, I kind of connected to that in a sense. And so, but Joseph was used to, he said, man, you got to prepare for this. You hear the pre-tribulation people, they're teaching you that righteousness isn't just living right. Righteousness is having the right understanding of the time and being prepared for that. Joseph brought righteousness. He brought right understanding to the times of the future. Therefore, they were right. They were in the right place. They did the right thing. Because righteousness is not just like not smoking, not drinking, not chewing, not dipping and stripping like some of them used to do. I mean, of course we don't. But people get focused on the fruit instead of the root. The root is you got to be prepared for things. You got to have oil in case something goes wrong. Joseph prepared for that. He interpreted the times correctly, and he was the only one who prepared for the future so that when it came, they all lived through it instead of died through it. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? So I want to look at, the wise virgins, and I know there's a lot of good teaching out there, and I know Deborah has some good teaching on some of that. She needs to share that as she gets a chance. It's being prepared. It's all about preparation. And Joseph was built and made to prepare them for the real future instead of we don't need to prepare for that because we're not even going to be here. Could you imagine all the other people who said, that has nothing to do with preparing for the future? We're never going to have a problem, Mr. Pharaoh. We have plenty. Yeah, you might have plenty for a year or so of trouble, but for 7 years, seven long years of drought, that drains everybody unless you are prepared. And these pre-tribulation, I'm just being really blunt, really plain spoken about this. The pre-tribulation people, they're so ingrained in their whole culture. We don't have to prepare for that because we're not going to be here. And then, boom, it's going to hit them suddenly like destruction. They're going to go, oh, my God. And people, they'll be ready for anything. If you know Jesus, you know the Bible. If people go to Bible school to train for years, how to train, what are they doing? They're preparing them. You have to be trained correctly. Oh, we don't need training. We just need Jesus. No, you need training, specific training. Joseph specifically trained and taught and did things to actually literally prepare for something that was actually going to happen, that they were actually going to have to live through. 7 years of famine would have killed everybody had Joseph not prepared the way. And his right standing with God, his righteousness had to do with his fellowship with Jesus. I think that's what she's saying. Righteousness means a whole lot of things. All right, Deborah says, I just realized the verse in Luke 21:8, starting when you see these signs take place, look up for your redemption draws nigh. This is a word to prepare. Ah, not escape. Woo, girl, that's good. Look up and for your redemption draws nigh. Yeah. Yeah, for it's coming close, but they think that, actually 21:28. Okay. Luke 21:28. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and I think that's the thing that we're going to have to deal with. Most of our ministry during that time, some of our ministry, a lot of our ministry is going to be to helping those people. Because if you don't prepare them when you're right in the middle of the war, if you don't have them prepared for war, so to speak, and they don't have their weapon, they haven't turned their player plowshares into weapons. Am I even saying that correctly? I'm just flopping around here. They're plowshares into weapons. If they haven't done that, and they're still plowing and planting and thinking life is going to go like it is, and all of a sudden they're in a war, and they're not prepared for that, it's kind of going to be too late. Oh, we're going to spend, you know, we've got a war going on and people are being killed every minute. We got to train people now. I don't think so. Kind of Putin situation where he's trying to, now he's got to train people, right? And it's just not working very well. You don't train people when you're right in the middle of a destructive action on a community or a world or a nation. You don't get 300,000 people and just train them. You haven't got time to train them. He didn't prepare. He did not prepare for this, and that's been his problem. Anyway, I'm getting excited. Y'all know I don't know a lot, but what I do know, I share it as boldly as I can. All right, is God giving you any sight on the false prophet? No, Shannon's asking that. No, Shannon, I actually don't yet. I just kind of think it's going to be, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, if I don't know something, I'll just say I don't know. I can guess. You know, I can guess and play with it a little bit, but most people think the Pope very well could be. That looks like it is. It really looks like it is. But do I have a word from God on it? No, I don't have a word from God on it. If I get one, though, you will be the first one to find out, or PGN will. Well, thank you for asking. Thank you, Deborah, for that insight. That was very good. I mean, a lot of people don't understand what righteousness is, you know, so I think that you could probably help people make that plain and clear. Being able to see, you're having oil to see, is knowing what's going on. And if you don't really know what's going on, you've been lied to about what's going on and that didn't really happen, and you don't think you need any oil or need any light for it or whatever, you know, you're not going to have any delays, and you have a delay. I know a lot of people right now, I can name some names for you that have some major delays going on, and they are not prepared. They are literally have not been prepared, and they're having to prepare fast. And it is extremely difficult on them, extremely difficult on them. So I'm getting the opportunity to watch it and see it with some people that are actually going through this. We're caught completely off guard. I mean, friend, I'm talking completely off guard to the point of double time shock. Even shocked me as far as, you know, I mean, I know these people. And these people, you know, do a lot of the right things, and every right thing they did not keep them from, and they were not prepared for it at all. Thank God they were in the Word, and that did help. But they were not prepared for it. So, but, you know, it's been a great thing to watch, a painful thing to watch, but a great thing to learn from and see what somebody's going through that's not prepared for things. It's difficult, really difficult. John, I have been researching investing in oil. We mentioned it again. Y'all mentioned it again today about oil. Yeah, I gave a word, Chris is one of our friends here on PGN, and about oil. When I was praying over his offering or something, or praying over something, I remember we were praying over something. We were prophesying, and I saw, you know, black oil, not golden oil, but black oil. And I said, you know, something about that. And he had just had an investment opportunity that day, I think that day or the day before. And he came on the show and he said, I couldn't believe you were saying that, man. I just talked to a guy today. Like, how did you know that? I didn't know it. Because I don't even know anything about what he does or what he doesn't do. And so then last night, was it last night? Yeah, last night. Okay. So much going on. Last night, I gave a word to Noel from California about oil. So she, I think, she texted me today. She said, Randy, you know, I had an incident on my texting where, well, I don't remember exactly what she said, but it had something to do with oil and how Texas had more oil supply than Saudi Arabia in 2018 when Trump was at it, you know. And so I'm going like, because you know what? Honestly, to give words about oil right now doesn't make sense, because oil seems like they're going to do away with oil, right? That's what it looks like. But as far as Texas goes, and when you start thinking about Deborah and Noel too, the separation that's going to happen with the one world government, but they're going to cut us off, and they're going to probably live off electricity. You know, fine, whatever. I don't know. They can do whatever they want to do. I'm not really into their stuff. Well, I kind of am, but anyway. But
what's happening is, I just had my alarm, Amber Alert, go up. So what's happening is when the system cuts us off, yes, I can send you that article. Yeah, thanks for asking. And so what's happening is that when we separate from them and we have our own system, kind of like Elon Musk had with Ukraine, Putin cut them off, and they had no way of communicating. They would have taken them over fast. Elon Musk went in there, and he kind of saved the day. I'm not an Elon Musk person at all. He happens to be a Texas boy now, by the way. But that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not for him or against him. I just tell you what happened. Suddenly they had a system set up, boom, like that. Took Putin off surprise. He was very ticked off about it, tried to invade the system, couldn't do it. Had a little bit of trouble with it, but Elon Musk fixed it and did really good. So we're going to have something like that in Texas and Florida and God knows whatever states. And around the globe, we're going to have, just like the Antichrist is going to have, be around the globe. They're literally going to take over the world. But we're going to take over the part of the world too. You know, they're going to literally be around the globe. So you have to interpret scripture and understand that the scripture is talking about when the Antichrist is all over the globe. He's saying he's all over the globe. So what? What does that have to do with anything? He's all over the globe, man. We're all going down. It's going to be bad. But you have to read the rest of the scripture that there's also people that are saved that come through the tribulation, actually go through the tribulation with a number of saved people that you can't even number. There's so many of them. You think those people are just in Texas? I don't think so. They're all over the globe, man. We're all over the globe. Wake up, people. My God, come on. Jesus, help us. Wake us up, Lord. Where do you think all those people are stored? Everywhere. They're all over the globe. And who helps them? Texas helps them. Florida helps them. Other countries, cities, and states around the globe. We're all going to be connected. We're going to have our own thing, too. Why would Jesus tell the church, tell the people in the book in the tribulation to come out from among them, talk about his own people, come out from to his own people, he says, come out from among them. Why would God tell you to come out from among them or separate yourself from them if he didn't have something for you to separate yourself to, like another system? You know, it's obvious God has another system. Some of it's going to be supernatural feeding, food. Some of it's going to be supernatural. You know, some of it is just going to be people helping people, man. That's the way it's always been. Look at the book of Acts. You want to know what's really going to go on? Look at the book of Acts. You don't know what's really going on? Yes, look at the book of Acts. I've been trying to talk about that for a while now. Please get a chance to look at the book of Acts and think about it as the days that we're heading into. And there's not a better explanation of what's going to happen and where the church is going to be. Yes, the Jews and the natural Jews and the spiritual Jews. We're all going to work together. Yes, and the natural Jews are going to be spiritual Jews. We're all going to be true brothers and sisters, not just natural Jews. Being a natural Jew is no special thing except for the fact that God made them special and they caused them a lot of trouble and they crucified Christ and got blamed for it when they should be given credit for it because nobody could do it but them. Nobody could officially do it legally in God's eyes, but the Jews. The Jews had to crucify him. They had to take the lamb. Yeah, the Romans were used to do it, but who was the one stirring it all up? The Romans tried to set him free. Oh, we don't find any fault with him. What does that tell you? They didn't have anything to do with it. You know, no, the Jews pushed it forth because God knew that they were the only ones that had the legal right before God to act to bring that blood to the altar. And Caiaphas prophesied, "We got to kill him. We got to kill him. He's the Lamb." He didn't say that, but that's what it was going on. That was the high priest that said that. The high priest was the only one that had the right to bring the blood of the Lamb into the. Now, they didn't know they were doing that, but that's what was going on prophetically. I think we can look back at it and look at it according to the Bible, according to the Holy Spirit, not according to what some bunch of religious Jews say. Oh, we didn't really crucify him. Yeah, you did. You did. You killed him. Thank you. Thank you. As cruel as it seems, thank you for bringing us salvation. Thank you.
for bringing him before your courts and putting the sin of the world on him, so to speak. Or the Father did. Thank you, Jews, for that. We love you. We don't criticize you for that. Now that we understand the truth about it all, amazing. All right, so don't forget to ask to send you that article later because I'll forget. I'm going to try not to forget, but I'll probably forget. All right, about 25 years ago, this is, I think this is Glenn, about 25 years ago, a Texas Christian man started an oil exploration company that was to find oil at the south end of the Dead Sea. Part of the prophetic word said that the oil will be found in Israel and cause the hooks in the jaws of kings of the north. I have been in contact with the man, keeping the vision alive until it's time. The company is called Ness Energy. Yeah. All right. I could tell some stories about that, but I don't have time for that right now. Awesome, man. We'll talk about that in the future. That'd be awesome. Thank you for the information. Yes, I'm familiar with that. I don't think you spell that Ness though right. I don't think Ness is N-E-S-S. I don't think that's what it is. Is that how it's spelled? Correct that for me if it is. I'm not sure. I don't think Ness, N-E-S-S is right. It could be, but it's been a while. Cynthia is asking, so since they did not have enough oil for their lamps, they were blinded to the way. Yeah, good point. Okay, Ness doesn't mean mirror. Okay, thank you for that. That's exactly how it's spelled. Thank you. Okay, I couldn't remember. I am familiar with that, but thank you for letting me know. Yeah, it just didn't look right. I think because you put a little N on it, maybe. I'm not sure. It didn't look right. Great job, Glenn. Thank you for that. It's exactly how it's spelled. Okay, thank you. NESS Energy. Company is called NESS Energy. Thank you. Yeah, and so think about this too, Glenn. When you think about once we break, see right now it looks crazy to invest in oil. I'm not in the oil business, so I'm not trying to get people to invest. I don't have a company, and I don't have to do anything. I'm a prophet in the wilderness crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord," right? And so I'm just saying that right now the government we have that is becoming an Antichrist government and will be an Antichrist government eventually. We're going to separate from that, and that's all going to fall apart. They're going to hand over the country to Europe. Europe is going to take it and become the basically the leader, and then America is going to come back to its own. It'll have a Christian Israel believing leader, a Christian president. I already know who it is, and he's being prepared for this. And you know, I had. So anyway, it doesn't matter. But so this has all been prepared. God has provided already for it. And when time comes for him to be in, he will be welcomed with the spirit of goodness that he has and the kindness that he has. Trump played his part. They're kind of the opposite. This man and Trump are kind of opposite. Trump is bold and, you know, appearing arrogant, you know, which I love that. You know, I love that strong part about him in his mouth. This guy is kind of the opposite. But both, you know, believe in the same things, except this man is a man of God, a shepherd, and he's going to shepherd the nation when once all this stuff has been transferred and the Antichrist system is well on its way, the temple's being built. We're going to have a shepherd who was anointed by the Holy Spirit with oil being poured on his head back in 2007. All that's already been prepared and set up. And so God's going to do that. And, you know, we're going to be awesome. But so right now, there's so much to talk about. Right now, what's happening is that with the system that's going on now, everything's against oil, right? Against oil, against oil, against oil, because it corrupts the universe and all that. Well, and coal and all that. So once we separate out from among them and be separate, then we have a system that we're going to be part of that have our own phone system, our own internet system, we're going to have our own supply, we're going to have oil. Texas is going to supply oil for the globe or for the Christians around the globe, not the Antichrist people around the globe. We're not going to supply for them, right? They got their own supply. They got the mark of the beast. We don't have that. We got the system and the material, the possessions that God has given us to feed and take care of the nations, as well as, you know, other states will have the same thing. And all together, we're going to work together and give the Antichrist purity, H-E double. We're going to give him purity hell. And I'm going to be right in the middle of that too, thank God. I've known that for a long time. It's going to be exciting. Hopefully you'll be there with us. If you can handle the pressure, that's why you need to be prepared. Prepared, preparation means you can handle the pressure. Why? Because you're used to it. You've been thinking about it already. You're already thinking, yeah, I'm prepared for this. But if you're not thinking about it, think I'm not going to be here for it, then you're not going to be, your oil, no strength, no courage, no, you know, nothing. You're not going to have it, right? Because you're not prepared for it. I hope I'm making this clear tonight. I'm trying to. I'm doing my best. I'm not a teacher. I'm a revelator. No, and I will not say who that person is, although some people will probably try to guess. It's one of those things that I'm not going to talk about that right now. But thank you for asking. I don't mind. I'll talk about anything. We'll talk about anything. Yeah. Anything. I can give out any information I can. I will give it to you. Believe me, I'm not trying to hide anything or keep anything back. But some information is highly, as far as we actually come out and confirm it, that would be breaking my oath before God if I came out, and until God allows me to do it, to actually come out and, like we did with the name of the Antichrist. That would have been breaking my oath with God. And I know most people do not want me to do that, right? Most people don't want me to do that. So we're going to try our best. All right. Let's get ready to, we already took communion. If you missed that, maybe you can catch us next time. Every Thursday we take communion, so hallelujah. All right, y'all ready to pray and pray over offerings tonight? Any other questions about what we just talked about how oil is going to be important because the oil is going to resource the earth? You know, what's 7 years of, you know, good, clean oil? You know, and we find ways to keep it from, you know, messing up the atmosphere. I think we need to try to stop from messing it up. I think it does, but it hasn't been. We need some creative ideas on how to help clean with clean oil and clean things that keep it clean when it comes out of the exhaust, you know, or whatever, or the process of it all can be purified. All right. I'll be right back. Hang on just a moment. If you have any questions, think of them while I'm going to be gone just for a couple of minutes. And then if you have any questions, please send them to me. We'll try to answer them best I can. Even if I'm not prepared, I will do my best to answer it. Okay. I'll be right back. All right. Praise God. We took communion. If you missed that, we'll catch it next week, as I said earlier, and get it next week. Okay. Let me check one more last time to see if any more offerings have come in. And some questions I cannot answer when it comes to names of particular political leaders or whoever. Some of those names I cannot give right now, though I will give enough to know that when it happens, you'll know that God has showed us who it is and what it's about. We'll try to give enough hints. If I can't give you the exact information, I will give you enough of a hint where you can at least try to guess it and, you know, kind of, just like we did the Antichrist, red hair, about 50 years of age, and a prominent family, you know, plus some other little things too. I don't remember what they were, but so those three things right there were everybody that's found out, you know, who it is. No, you gave the right, you gave exactly the right hints, and therefore we know that you already knew. And that's what the Lord wants us to show the world, that he already knows this stuff, and he shows it, reveals it to his prophets. You know, basically that's it. It's really cool. We're going to see a lot of judgment come upon merchandisers, and the people that are one with the merchandisers, they will be dealt with too, very harshly. But mostly the shepherds, those are the ones that are going to really be dealt with harshly, because they're supposed to know better. Especially if they're true shepherds. True shepherds have access to God and what the sheep get fed in a way that nobody else does. That's what a shepherd's calling is. All right.
All right, let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you. Okay. All right, I can't give any information on any of that yet. So thank you for asking. No, we'll try to stir it up, and you know, if you think God's showing you, then pray. And it's going to be awesome. That's all I can say. It's going to be amazing. Woo! Yeah, I would love to talk about that. We probably will talk about that before long. But there's reasons that I can't say specifically with what we do. We'll kind of maybe guess. But for me to say specifically will cause problems. It will cause problems. That's why I can't confirm it publicly at all. Yeah, it'll cause problems. So that's why I can't. That's the only reason I can't. All right. Maybe that'll help understand a little bit. All right. All right. Prayer for offerings. If you have questions, you think about questions, you can text them to me at 214-505-8719. If you'd like to ask questions about anything, I will try to answer them if I can, if I know. And I do know the things I know well, but the things I don't know that I just think I know that I know them for sure. So I can give you guesses, and then I can tell you what I know. So we'll try to keep that all separated out. All right. All right, Donald and Tanya, $5. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. Sent through the Cash App. We do have Cash App if you like Cash App or understand Cash App. It's an app you get, and you can give to PGN. Give by the phone number, 214-505-8719. If you want to give on the Cash App, you can give on that. Donald and Tanya did that from Florida. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, $5. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for delivering the goods to them, Father, to show them the way, how to break bread and multiply and increase, that you're moving them into a place of breaking bread, taking what little bit they have and giving to God what belongs to God, and breaking part of it and giving it to God, not giving it to a man, not giving it to a church, not giving it to a ministry, giving it to God, wherever the storehouse is that gives you what you need for today and for the future. That's what a storehouse is. Right, so there's a lot of different storehouses out there, and they're really awesome. But God's going to show you how to take the bread and increase and multiply it yourself, right? That way you become like you teach a fisherman somebody how to fish instead of just bringing the fish, then they learn how to fish. And so fishing in the financial arena is a whole different realm than just a lot of things. And once you get connected to Revelation, then the Revelation can take you to the place of learning how to catch your own fish, by learning how to take the bread, bless it, break it, and give it away, and where to give it, how to give it, you know, all that. And that's what's going to cause your multiplication, and that's what God's trying to use this difficult time of your life to break you into that. He does it through pain and suffering. He does it through lack. He does it through I don't have enough. And he uses that to cause you to groan and break through. And as a good shepherd, as a good friend, you know, I'm with you. I'm watching that. I'm praying for you that you obey God in it, right? Because it's a difficult time. But in that place of learning how to get God's increase and multiplication in your financial realm, in the provision realm, you learn how to do that, right? You don't need other people to do it for you. You and God. And God produces the wealth and brings the wealth in because you're learning how to take the bread, bless it, break it, and give it, and give. Amen. As you do that, God will bless you. Amen. You and Tanya, you need to do that together, hold hands together, or get together because that's the realm that he's bringing you in. It's different between having provision. There's different ways we get provision. One of them is people bring it to us because, you know, like, you know, government, you know, has people that are on government programs and the food stamps and all that. And then there's the realm of getting a company with the government, checking in and having a name of a company and getting that company name going and getting your own money coming in, right? People give you money, but it's because you got your own thing going on. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. And everybody is on the government food stamps at first, you know, we all are. And then, you know, I don't mean literally, but spiritually speaking, and then we tap into the thing where we get our own businesses to God, because God has blessed us and increased us. We're not dependent on somebody else. Amen. All right. Broken bread. Amen. Andrea, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure you're praying over Russia right now. I'll pray going over Russia. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to find that, you know, God's going to have his way, and we're going to, God's going to speak specifically about those things here in the near future and show what's really going on with all that stuff. And so we don't listen to rumors and wars, but we actually know what the real war is. And God's going to show you what the real war is, not necessarily just in the physical end time war, but where the real war is, where the real battle is. A lot of people are boxing in the air, Andrea, as you know, boxing in the air, not really getting anything done, but they sure are sweating it out, looking like they're really boxing. When you look at it, the spirit, they're not boxing anything. They're just like swinging at stuff like, have they lost their minds? Yeah, kind of. But when you box proficiently and specifically, and you know who your enemy is, what you're hitting. And I see God open that up for you in a whole nother realm. Amen. In Jesus' name, and blessing you to know more and more and more about who your enemy really is and what the battle is really about, instead of what the religious community says and what the false prophets say it is, instead of what the true prophets are saying that it is, and listening to the true prophets, what the true prophets are saying. Amen. And that, because they will tell us where the real battle really is. Oh, false prophets, what they do, they get you distracted with everything except for the root issues. We're going to pluck on the fruit, doing everything, but going to the root. So thank you, Lord, for the root words. Root word. We could add to the ministry, the root word ministry. That would be cool. That would be awesome. And well, God, if God would bless us in that, that would be so cool. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Shalanda, thank you, Shalanda, $10. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Shalanda tonight. Father, for causing her head. That God's giving you a good head, Shalanda. He's giving you a good head. And he's refining your head, the way you think. He's put a good head on your shoulders and giving you a good head on how to think right, how to think straight. Some people don't think straight because their head's not on straight, right? You got your head on straight, and God is even refining it and making it more specific so you can know important and what's not important, that you don't waste your time with things that are not important, right? A lot of times people waste their time with things that are not important. So finding out what's important and going to that and dealing with that, and God showing you, you know, so that way you become very productive and you get things done. Because when you're dealing with the real issues, then you're getting things done. When you're doing what needs to be done, what's important to be done, then you find yourself working a lot less and having a lot more fun and enjoying yourself a whole lot more. Amen. I see God really doing it with you. Hallelujah. Paulette, $10. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Thank you for strengthening her, God. Thank you for giving her that no compromise, no bull, no thing. Give me the truth, God. I want the truth, no matter how much it hurts. I want to know the truth, whatever it takes to get this going on. So thank you, Lord. Cry for the truth. As she continues to cry for the truth, the real truth, the truth that comes from God Almighty, not the truth that, not the light that looks like light. The Bible says, "Be aware of the light that looks like light, but it's not real light." We thank you, Jesus, for that anointing to be able to uncover that, Father, all those things that are not the real light, but that are but appear as light, but they're not the light of God. And thank you, Jesus, you'll be able to see that, recognize it, and go, "Hey, that's not real light. That's not real. That light, one of these days, it's going to get so dark, that light ain't even going to work. I need the light of God, like going to be in the temple in the heavenly Jerusalem. The light that lights the place is the light of the Lord. Lord, I want your light, not the light of men, not religion. Give me your true light. Open my eyes." And I see God really doing that in new ways. That's what he does with me. I'm always doing that, Paulette. I'm always saying, "God, you know, if I've got anything in my life, doctrinally, whatever, that's not perfect, I want it perfect.
perfect me. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I want to be perfect. I want your word in me to be, I want to have it in me perfectly so that no storm, no devil, no trouble, no lie can ever take me down. Amen? In Jesus' name. Ukapareha. In Jesus' name. Let it be done to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, John. All right, John and Melissa, $10. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for John, God, that you opening up constant encouragement to him, God, providing for him. Lord, making ways where there seems to be no way, opening up doors where there seems to be no doors, Father, in Jesus' name, that he will find in his place, that you are finding your place. You know, it took, you know how many years it took me to find my place? Dude, a long time. And the process of getting there was important because the process is what finally got me there. If I hadn't yielded to the process of finding what I was made to do, if I hadn't, you know, been in the process, you go through the process and then you arrive. You labor and then you enter to the rest. And, man, the process, you know, you've been doing good with that. I think God's been really bringing you through the process. It's been a beautiful thing to watch, the process that you've yielded to God in. So the process, if it's of God, always takes you to the thing you're called to do, you know, the thing you're made to do. Which makes you happy, which makes you feel fulfilled, which blesses you financially. The provision of God comes in because you're doing what you're called to do, and it makes you happy. It doesn't mean sometimes it doesn't get you down a little bit. You don't get discouraged. You know, want to stay home because you want to take a break. But you love it so much that, you know, because it's God, it's your God calling. And thank you, Lord, for that in his life in Jesus' name. Amen. With Melissa, we thank you, Lord, for Melissa, God, that they can work together in their purpose and knowing that when they're in agreement with their purpose, that they can, you know, find themselves being stronger and moving forward faster and easier when they're in agreement on that. Let them find their way into agreement in that in Jesus' name with Sean and Melissa. Amen. They are, they have, and they will, and they will continue to in Jesus' name. Amen. Sally, $18. Thank you, Sally. Sally, I can't thank you enough for sending me that information about Billy Graham and the Queen. I was not aware of that, honestly. Now I've seen the videos on Franklin Graham's, you know, show, you know, Billy Graham, Billy Graham Network, whatever it's called, Ministries. And so I've been watching that with an eye alive. That's what Sally was telling me about. But I was not aware of it. And then it opened, as you probably heard us say, if you've been listening to the show, where we realized why the Antichrist couldn't even begin to come forth, or the system of the Antichrist couldn't come forth through London, because Europe is where it's going to really manifest, right? We need a lot of Christians in Europe. Christians are going to be everywhere. We're going to be right next to them, like the wheat and the tares. We're going to be right next to them. Oh, the Antichrist is going to be all over the globe. Right. It's like saying the tares are going to be all over the globe, Brother Chandler. The tares are going to be all over the whole globe. Right. And so are the wheat. They're going to be beside each other. You have to understand the scripture when you read the scripture to know that's what it's saying. People get taught all this blind teaching from this stuff, like, oh, they're going to be all over the whole globe. We don't have a chance. We've got to get out of here. That's a lie from hell, man. A lie from hell. It literally is a lie from hell. And we're just calling it what it is. And I know it's a little rough, but we need to say it specifically so it'll jerk people off, you know, of thinking that they know what it means. Just jerk them off. Just like jerk them right off that thing. Take them all right off of it. In Jesus' name. And yank them off and go, wake up, man. Wake up. I love you. Wake up. Jesus says, wake up. I love you. And this is what I see God doing with you and people around you. It's like waking up and saying, look what's going on. Look at the privilege. Look at the honor. Instead of, oh, God, no, not this. You know, like, you know, I'm not saying you do this, Sally. I'm just saying that people, you know, they, oh, my God, we're going to be in the worst storm of all hell. It's going to be awful. But no, Sally, we're going to be walking on the storm. That's what's going to be cool about it. Is the storm going to be raging? Yes, it's going to rage like all hell is going to break loose. But guess what? Peter and Sally are going to be walking on the water. Could be walking on the water. Hallelujah. My God. We got to get the scripture right, man. Oh, we don't want to be in the storm. You know, the guys in the boat were probably going like, yeah, rapture, please rapture us out. God, the storm's going to kill us all. And Peter's like going, what? I'm walking on this thing. And he sank because it got pretty rough. Or he started sinking, I should say, started sinking. Had a little delay there with his victory. But, you know, Jesus caught him. And, hey, you know, where was your faith at? That's what I say to the church today, Sally. Where's your faith at? You know, where's your faith at? What are you looking to? What are you believing in? You got God on your mind, or you got, well, God, it can only work as long as the Antichrist isn't let go, let loose. If he's let loose, we gotta get out of here because it's going to be horrible. You know, I mean, that's kind of the basic thinking. You know, I talk to these people. I'm not just flapping my jaw. I know these people. I know what they think. I know what they believe for years and years and years. This is not just talking out of the side of my mouth. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. And basically, that's their basic belief system. And so, but, you know, you're called to walk in the water. You know, that's it. And you're in a very strategic place. Do you remember the time, a long time ago, I said something that I saw you, like, walking around where the queen lives? Something. I don't know if you remember that exactly. I don't remember exactly the wording. But I saw you, like, walking around the castle or the kingdom or whatever, right over it or something. I don't know if you remember. I remember that. I wasn't sure what you thought about that exactly, but I'm thinking about that again right now. God is saying, rise up, rise up, rise up, you know, and shake. God's shaking you loose, man, going, man, I'm going to get out of this boat and walk. I'm not going to sit with these guys. When Jesus said we can walk in the water, I believe what Jesus said, not what these, you know, boat hookers. They're hanging on for dear life. You know, and Peter's saying, hey, you know, okay, you guys stay here. I'm going to go walk with Jesus. He said we could do it. I believe him. I believe him. Thank you, Lord, for Sally. She's believing you, Jesus. She's shaking off all the light of men and the understanding of men through Scripture and all the things, shaking that loose from false doctrine to all the things that we're all being shaken loose from into the light of the glory of the Father. When the storm is raging, Sally's going to say, yeah, let's get out and walk on the water. Because God is with us. That's the kind of God I believe in. That's what Sally's going to say. Help me remember that word if you can think about it. When you get a chance, no rush, but you can email me about that if you get a moment. All right, Sandra, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra. God, we thank you, Lord, for the combination of her faith and action. God, the faith that works is dead, and that really God's showing you how faith, how to work faith, that most people just don't really know how to work it or what it is. We talk a lot about it. Sandra, as you know, talked a lot about it. I didn't always know exactly practically what I was saying, but I see God showing you how to put your faith into action, because faith in action is power and glory. Faith without the action or the works is dead, right? So we got living in the dead realm, nothing ever really happening. Nothing's really happening. And God says, step out of the boat or step out, you know, put action with your faith. So we have to know what faith is. Faith is, you know, God impressing you to do something that is beyond yourself. You know, start stepping toward that. Start walking toward those things in your mind, in your thoughts. Sometimes we start out stepping out of the boat in our thoughts. And then as you step out of the boat in your thoughts and you work it and practice it and meditate on it, then when it comes to the real time to step out, you're able to do it. Right. Yeah. So I see God doing that with you, really connecting your faith with your works and walking in the power of God, walking in the provision of the Lord. We're in a season where people don't know how to walk by faith. They may literally be dead, you know, not physically only, but dead financially, dead. You know, they're going to go to heaven, but everything around them is going to be dead. You know why? Because they don't know how to activate their faith. Their faith into action, and God's going to show you and open you up to that at deeper levels and at higher levels and show you how to walk in that realm so that you're not dead, but you're alive. People have faith, and yet they're dead. It's not, they don't really know how to activate their faith. Yeah. It's a really, really big thing. And there's scriptures about that, even the Old Testament, where it says they didn't know how to mix their faith with their
or works or something like that. Faith. You know what I'm talking about. You can Google it. All right. Marie from Virginia. Thank you, Marie. Thank you for Marie. God, I thank you, Father, for blessing her, for opening her up to have courageous, to be a courageous person. I see you as like being very courageous. And God, dealing with all the things that you fear, you know, whether they just be human fears. We all have human fears. Job had a human fear about his kids, you know, never, you know, cursing God. He was afraid they were going to curse God. And he always was offering up offerings for them. Those are natural fears. Every parent is concerned about that with their kids. But sometimes those natural fears can open up avenues where the enemy can come in and mess with us, right? So I see God even dealing with your natural fears, just natural fears, and showing you how to work in the midst of those fears, you know. I'm not talking about demonic fears. I'm not talking about, you know, fears that are of the devil and just that torment you. I'm not talking about those types. I'm talking about fears, just natural fears you have, like, oh, what if I lose my job? You know, just things that we think about sometimes. And natural fears, right? So I see God really even helping you to work through those, to shut the door on natural fears, like, you know, will I ever meet the right person to do whatever, like the natural fears. Yeah, and so it helping you to conquer that, because sometimes those natural fears turn into things that cause us problems. And I see God really showing you how to walk through that and overcome that. Amen. Yeah, so. Yeah, all right. All right, Tanisha, $26. Thank you, Tanisha, for loving and giving and being a part of what God's doing. Thank you for just loving God and having a heart to be persistent and be persevering. And like, you know, most people that make it for basically one thing. They persevered. They were tenacious. They stuck with it. Even when just like Joseph. Joseph, we talked about this last week, I think, this week. Joseph, you know, everything went wrong, and yet he kept on persistently pursuing God. Persistently pursuing God in the midst of it, going, God, I know somehow or another, something's got to work. Nothing else is working. I know somehow something's got to work. And he just kept on being faithful to God in spite of all of it. And God was building in him a strength to use, basically save the world, you know, from starvation and the preparation. So all of this stuff that he went through, because he went through it with God, prepared him for what he was going to be doing in the future. That's what the purpose of all of it was for preparation. So the foolish virgins and the wise virgins were they trusted God in the midst of things, and they had oil, they had strength, they learned to be prepared for anything. You know, this could happen in a year. Oh, and 10 years later, still hadn't happened. Like, I ran out of oil. No, you don't want to run out of oil. We prepare for this. Prepare, God. We don't know the day or the hour. So we got to be prepared for delays. And most people don't prepare for delays. As soon as the delay happens, they're like, oh, dear God. You know, like, we all do that some. God's preparing you. He's teaching you preparation, like Joseph became a preparer. God was preparing him to prepare the world for a 7-year famine and save the whole globe. Preparation is awesome. It's everything. All right, Marja, $50. Thank you, Marja. So nice to talk to you last night. Thank God for Marja. Thank God for your faith and your heart, God, and Marja, to give and to be a part of the kingdom of God, and to be part of the love community. The love community, the community of love, the community of love where people see each other's natural human weaknesses and still just make you more lovable. You know, with true brothers and sisters, we can love each other in our human weaknesses and our things, and even love them more because of the purity of their honesty and integrity of just being honest about their stuff, being truthful about their stuff. And having a community that you can trust to just be yourself, you know,
And I see God bringing you to that place where people around you, you can just be yourself. And when you can be yourself, that means you start loving yourself and the biblical kind of love for yourself and loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I break off that spirit of self-destruction. I don't know if somebody you're praying for or somebody you know. Marge, I don't know who this is, and I think this has something to do with maybe somebody you know or you, self-destructive spirit, where they just keep, self-destructing. They don't even realize why they're doing it. They don't really want to self-destruct, but they do because something in them needs to be healed. And I see God really doing something with that, with somebody in your life or somebody around you or something. You're going to help them or something like that, maybe in the future, but there you go. God's going to help you with that in Jesus' name. And really give you an excitement about the new things. All right, Glenn, my friend Glenn, $50. I think he sent me a note. Y'all have to see this. He sent me a note. You can tell he didn't listen this week because the red heifers in Israel, preparation for the third temple. Exactly. Exactly, bro. Thank you for I know you're into that stuff. I'm into it too. And we've been talking about that. Carmen sent me a video on that. And, so, hallelujah. And then I've seen it here and there, and, it's just amazing how God is getting ready to do that. New thing, in Jesus' name. A new thing. Amen. All right, the new thing. God wants you to be a part of the new thing, bro. It's a new thing. And God wants, he's giving you, it's like I see you getting the new set of glasses to see things through a new way. Some of the old glasses, where things start getting real murky and foggy and, blurry. And God giving you new glasses or a new way to look at things, to see things and look at things so you're prepared for the things that are coming. Amen. And walk in the glory of God and walk in there hand in hand. God's showing you how to walk hand in hand with, a lover, with a friend, with somebody you love, somebody you care about, in Jesus' name. Open that up for him, Father, in Jesus' name, in this season of the love fest of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless him, Jesus. Increase him and multiply him, Father, the wisdom and new insight, in Jesus' name, to be able to let old things pass away and behold, take on the new thing that God is showing and revealing so he can be have his own area where he flows and works in it and understands it and moves and lives in it. Amen. Amen. Not the blind leading the blind, but insight from God. In Jesus' name. All right, Mike and Veronica, $50. Thank you, Mike and Veronica, for that $50. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where you guys are at. You haven't let me know, but I hope you're doing well. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike. God, I thank you for Mike. God, for those hard, you always call him to the hard areas. The areas that are tough, that it takes somebody who's, is tough and has been through tough times. You're called to tough times, Mike, because you've been through a lot of tough times, and God's going to has anointed you to go through, troubled times and hard times, trusting God and believing God for an anointing to get the rhythm of the heartbeat of God to what's really happening for right now, and what's really attacking the church. What's really attacking people, what's really trying to destroy them. And, thank you, Lord, for my God and for, in Jesus' name, for preparing a table for him in the midst of his enemies, God, and showing him how to not fear. Bring that thing of not fearing and knowing that the valley, the shadow of death that he walks through, God, that he fears no evil because he knows God is with him. In Jesus' name, he knows that. And we thank you, Jesus, for his life, God, and combining all the things that he needs, all the different anointings that he's walked in and used in the past, God, you bring them together in Jesus' name for an impartation, a brand new impartation for him, Father, in Jesus' name of casting out devils and causing healings because of casting out devils and infirmity,
cast out devils of evil, getting those iniquities broken off people so they can receive their healing. A lot of people don't receive their healing because of those things. God's going to use you to break that off of people. Amen. And Veronica, $50. Veronica, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the blessed hope, God, that you use Veronica for the blessed hope. The blessed hope. That she walks in that place of the blessed hope. And hang on a second here. The blessed hope. To get people the minds on wanting heaven, having heaven in the earth, so to speak, having blessings from God. And okay, here in a second. All right, that blessed hope and seeing like revival, giving people, getting them to hope in heaven, hope in God, hoping that there is a God, that there is a heaven, that there's a good place. You know, the meaning is the good hope for which is laid up in heaven, and which is called the blessed hope. And so I thank you, Lord, for that blessed hope, God, that the joyful assurance that God will extend his benefits to us. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. You're calling her. You called her to connect people to the heavenly blessing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we connect to heaven, what? To get the heavenly blessing in our life. Amen. Whether we die and go to heaven or whether we live in the earth. And believe God to bring blessing to us and love and compassion and sing the songs of the blessed hope, the spirit of worship, the spirit of glory. In Jesus' name, that people will, begin to hope in God and get their eyes on that God has something for them here in the earth that is heavenly. And connecting heaven to that Jesus Christ died so that heaven could come to earth. Not only to go to heaven when we die, but that heaven, the things of heaven can come to earth, prayer and intercession. Amen. And through believing and receiving it and having hope in that, hoping for it, believing for it. Amen. Not looking to earthly things, doing things the earthly way, the carnal way, the devious way, the demon way, the God's way. Amen. Teaching them biblical principles and love one another. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Evangelism and pastoral, like a shepherd's heart. All right. Jayla, $52.46. Thank you, Jayla, for that. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for calling in the other night. What a great time we had with ministering to you and talking about some things. I think some people really learned from that, that great experience the other night on the show, Jayla, and that God is, he's healing you. You know, God can't move us forward until we're prepared and ready. You know, to be able to move forward into the future, sometimes we'll take time, stop everything, take some time, and deal with the past. So the past, if the past is holding us back from the future, then we deal with it, right? If it's not holding us back, we can move on with it, then we deal with it as we go. But sometimes things have to stop for a moment, a little bit, and look and deal with the past so those things, the past, can be laid down so we can move into our future. Because they stop us from moving into our future. They cause us to reap, negative things that we don't want. Right, unless we deal with it. So God has been merciful and gracious to you to keep you from moving forward to a future, to a bad situation, so you can be healed and look at things differently and see things differently and start walking in a whole new insight. So that you step into good things and you draw good things to you, glorious things to you. And that's sometimes we have to go back and do that. Okay? Now, and God is sparing us. He's being gracious to us. Very gracious. He doesn't allow us. Sometimes we get very, what's hindering us? Sometimes it's because what we would have walked into would have been, you know, unhealthy, would have hurt us, would have helped us. And God preserves us, and he keeps us and watches over us. Amen? Yeah. All right. Terrence, $27.02. Thank you, Terrence, for that. Father's heart you've given him, Father, and showing him how to expand that father's heart. Fathers put dreams and visions in people's hearts. You have something in you that calls young men, calls children to dream about a good future, to dream about something good for their life, to be able to dream like Joseph dreamed, to be able to like Joseph's father, Jacob, nurtured his dreams, you know, and he could dream big because he had a father who acknowledged him, and therefore Joseph was able to dream really, really big. Really, really big. And that's what God's putting in you. He's giving you a father's heart to, so your spiritual son, your sons, whatever, can dream big. And you're not intimidated by that. You're not like going, oh, well, look at, like, you know, Jacob with Joseph, like going, what? You think me and your mother going to bow down to you? Because he was such a good father, you know, and he nurtured Joseph that Joseph could dream big. So, yeah, amen. That's part of your calling, part of your purpose is to help young people dream big, dream the dreams of God. Woo! Well, that was hot. Wow, some of the stuff that comes out of my mouth, I hear it, I go like, that is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Regina, $25. Some of these offerings. Thank you, Lord, for the 25. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Lord, for from coast to coast, from I don't know. Coming to you from coast to coast. You know, it's like I see God broadening your you know, broadening your tent, expanding you, you know, expanding you, opening you up, increasing you and multiplying you. You have more responsibility, but it's something you love doing, something you want to do, something you like doing, something you're good at, and God expanding your territory and big, like a major, some kind of a major, you know, opening or something. I'm not sure what that is, opportunity or something. And it's gonna be good. You're gonna grow it, love it. It's gonna be good for you. I'm not sure exactly what area that is, but I see it. When I said from coast to coast, you know, I'm thinking, what is that? And literally, it's what I always said. What is that, God? Yeah, awesome. Something about expanding your vision, your purpose. Yeah, I'm blessing you because you're doing something right, girl. I don't know, you know, what it all is, but something good's going on. All right, Martine, $53. Thank you, Martine. Thank you, Jesus, for Martine. Thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her, Father, to seek the truth and know the truth and to give the truth and to want people to know the truth because the truth is what sets us free, the truth that we know. But if people don't know it, so who's gonna and unless somebody preaches to them, and unless they're sent to preach, how can they hear? How can they know the truth? And God's calling you to speak the truth so that people can hear it and do it, you know, and know it. The truth that they know sets them free and help people know the truth, not just speak the truth to them, but explain it to them, break it down where they can get it, you know, and that kind of thing, and giving them the truth that they can, that will change them, that will correct them. You know, that will change their course in life, that will change them from, you know, I mean, ever since you told me that about eating rice and whatever it was you said, noodles, that kind of thing, and I just happened to have them that day and I was having throat issues, I never thought about that. Instantly, my eyes were open, like, wow, I did. I had, you know, that very day in the hospital food. That's what I ate was some noodles, you know, and some with that Chinese food and some rice. And then I had a voice problem. You know, that was just too, you know, and you see what I'm saying? I got that, and I changed it. Yeah. Yeah, so I have to eat that on days I'm not talking, I guess. See, you see what I'm saying? The truth, the truth that people can understand. I got it because you told me I got it. And believe me, I didn't take it. I said, yeah, that's right on. And you have a love for that, and God's called you to that. calling to that in Jesus' name. Mark, Angela Lanham. All right. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. All right, Angela Lanham, $60. Thank you, Angela, for your love for God, for your love for also a love for the truth, and a love for the prophetic. You have a love for the prophetic because He's teaching you. You're breaking through into the areas of what's real and what's not real. Sometimes it's hard to tell because we have to. Every time you listen to something that's not right and it falls apart, that's not a bad thing. It's an opportunity to learn. Okay, what did I do? What did I learn? What did I see? What I didn't see? And you start growing from it. It becomes a lesson to learn from. But every time we fail, or every time something fails, not that you failed, but something failed around you that you thought was right, you go, okay, well, no big deal. So let me learn from it, God. And the fact that you're not afraid to learn, Angela, is beautiful. It's powerful. You're not afraid to learn from things. And a person who's not afraid to learn from things, God will teach you. He will teach. He'll even lead you and guide you into things that He wants you to learn about, and even see the negative about it, and see the things that don't work, so you can see what's not working, what doesn't work. Right? Yeah. So you can see it and experience it, and go, okay, God, you opened my eyes. So he because you have a desire to learn and grow and know the truth, you know, He takes you through things to open your eyes to see, you know, this is why this doesn't work because of this. And you walk through it. You thought it was right. You thought you believed it, but you know it didn't work. So what happened? You catch the spirit of a thing. The spirit of a thing is just catching the light of the thing. What kind of light is it? Is it man's light, man's understanding, man's religion, or is it the light of God? So that light comes with the spirit of a thing, the light of a thing. You go, okay, that's not God. You know, you start learning, you know, growing. And so it's really a beautiful thing. All right. Let's see. Thank you, Jesus. All right, give me just a moment here. Okay. Yeah, Jeannie, you know, Jeannie also sent me that video on the 16th of September. The 16th of September. So, you know, thank you guys for helping me keep up with that because I get a lot of different information, and thank you for helping me know where that came from and the dates on that. The dates are a big deal to me. Thank you for that. Amen, Jeannie. She sent that to me she asked me last night if I knew about the red heifer. Right. Yeah, thank you. That article, because you had sent that to me on September the 16th. It was about when it was done, right? That's when it was actually, do we actually know the date, Jeannie, on when that was actually, when they actually arrived? That's what I can't seem to get right. It seems like it's September the something, but if you, Meg, 16th, is that the actual date that they arrived in Israel, or do you know what the 16th date was? Okay, you look. Thank you. Because I don't know either, and I'm trying to find out so I can get it correct, right? I'm trying to get it right, and I don't have it right yet, so I'm working on that. Thanks for your help on that. Okay, thank you, and let's see here. All right, Nikki and Charles. $75. You know, the Lord just calls you His friend, man. Nikki, Charles, you're the friend of God. You're a friend. You care about how He feels. You care about, you know, what breaks His heart. You care about the things that He cares about. And, you know, we've been talking about this friendship thing. I've gotten words off and over people that starting to realize that, you know, when you're a friend of Jesus, you care about what He thinks and how He feels. God, does that break your heart? I'm sorry I broke your heart. I'm sorry that they're breaking your heart. I'm sorry. Oh, God, Jesus, sorry that, you know, that this is grieving you and wounding you. That you care, girl, about how He feels. You know what He thinks about that? He thinks that is awesome. He thinks that is lovely. He thinks that is beautiful of you, the way you think that about Him, how awesome that is, and how that comforts Him.
people think we don't comfort Jesus. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that we do a different way. And how you care about his feelings and his emotions and what hurts him and wounds him and what grieves him, you know, and that you do your best to, you know, make him happy and please him. And that makes you a friend, right? That makes you a friend. Jeannie says, the article says, they arrived in Israel on the 15th. They arrived in Israel on the 15th. Okay. Yes, he sent me that article on the 16th. Okay, you did that too. All right. Thank you. All right. Because I had a because I saw an article that said 10 days before the Feast of Tabernacles, the five Rav Hefers arise in Israel from Texas. Right? Is that the one you say, Mark Daniel Kapul? 10 days before the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, 10 days before the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets is on, the Feast of Trumpets is on the 25th. So 10 days before that, that'd be the 15th. Yeah, I think that's right. But I saw an article, I think I sent that to a couple of people, Noel and a couple of other people. 10 days before the Feast of Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets, and that's September 25th to the 27th. So 10 days before that is the 15th. I think we're starting to get it down right. It's the 15th. I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, that does sound right. I think I even sent that to okay, here we go. Red Heifers arrive the 26th, last week. Last week, five Heifers arrived, airplane, September the 16th. Okay, there it is. Noelle sent me another one. September the 16th, the one-year-old female calves. So around the 15th or the 16th. All right, so I think we're getting, I think that's it, the 16th. Cool. That is a, you know, I think we finally got it. Red Heifer, 915. Jeannie just sent me a one on 915. It's an exclusive. Okay, was that the day that they landed in Israel, or is that the day that they took off to go to Israel, and they got there on the 16th? Do you know? Specific questions, right? Because I'm not very good at this, so y'all have to excuse me. All right. So Nikki and Charles, thank you, Lord, for Nikki and $75. Thank you for that $75, Nikki and Charles. I know, thank you, Lord, for Charles, God, that you're bringing the nurture out of him, where he's learning how to nurture, and God is bringing you opportunities to be a nurturer. You know, the breasting one, this is the nurturer. You know, where the compassionate part of you, where the nurturing part of you, Charles, is being nurtured and brought out and to nurture. And as God draws you into those positions where you have to be a nurturer, that's going to change your life, man. That's going to bring you to a place of a higher level of being a servant of God. Amen. That nurturer in you and learn to be like the breasting one for God, the one who supplies nurture, nutrition and nurturing to people. Amen. So it's a great, So we're praying also for Christian and Cody. Thank you, Lord, for Christian. We thank you, Jesus, for Christian tonight. They got there on the 15th. Okay. But I guess I don't see the whole photo. So the photo says the 15th, but is that the photo when they got there or the photo when they got shipped? Okay, Thursday is the 15th. Gotcha. Okay. I know, this is amazing, man. This is absolutely mind-boggling. And when you look at what all has gone on with the timing of us telling people the name of the Antichrist, and then a few days later, couple of weeks later, that was on the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. No, that was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so we gave that actual name of the Antichrist on the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 3 days later, they had the, oh, my God. Oh, my Lord and my God. So we gave the name of the Antichrist. I didn't know about these red heifers. Did y'all? Until, you know, you sent that article on the 16th. I mean, I didn't even connect all this stuff. The Antichrist can't even show up until he's been revealed in the temple. And we just gave his name out the 12th on a Monday and 13th, 14th, 15th. So 3 days later, they're in Israel. 3 days after we gave the name of the Antichrist, y'all. Well, I was wanting to know because I know it fits in with us giving the, oh, my God. Oh, di preco pa fari maroja. Dear Jesus. Baquero. Mahata. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. 3 days later. Jeannie, yes. Jeannie's putting 3 days later. 3 days later, y'all. This has been now, this should show y'all. It shows me. This is mainly for me. I'm saying y'all because y'all ain't me. Us. This should show y'all and me and us that what we're hearing from God, we're hearing from God. This is no joke. This is no, oh, he's over there just making up stuff, you know, to get attention. Well, I need plenty of attention, I'm sure, but that ain't it. 3 days later, after we gave the name of the Antichrist, after holding it for like 12 years or so, think about that, y'all. Come on, man. This is amazing. 3 days later, the auburn-haired, the brownish-red-haired Antichrist was revealed by name. The brownish-reddish-haired heifers show up in Israel, 3 days later. My God. I mean, I'm having a hard time. I don't even know if I can go on or not. Dear Jesus. With this, I mean, at the moment, I'm like, why did y'all have to do this to me? Jeannie, I'm blaming this on you and Noel. Y'all are messing with me. This is messing me up. Woo! Bacarijo. Jeannie's sending me the big laugh. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think it's funny. I don't think it's that funny, actually. It's not that funny. This is awesome, man. And we are a part of this, y'all, here on PGN. I mean, this isn't some secret little society going on in the corner somewhere. This is happening. This is on the news. We're doing this stuff publicly. This is not some hidden. I know we don't have a million people, but we're taking care of the few sheep we have, like David when he shows up to take down Goliath. Go back to those few sheep. Well, David had been taking care of the few sheep. He took down a lion and a bear. Amen. I think I can relate to that a little bit. If y'all only knew the lion and the bear stuff, training, and God confirming to me how he curse those who curse me and bless those who bless me. And I'm not talking about people who disagree with me, don't lie to me. I'm talking about those who curse me. They come after me and try to stop me. There now, it's not good for them. I mean, there's very few people that will actually curse you. Amen. That doesn't happen to me very often. But some people sometimes believe a lie, and they believe lies, and they do it. Okay, Thursday, September the 15th. Okay, 5 p.m. Thank you, Noel. Perfect unblemished red heifers arrived. Now, we know they got to stay that way, right? Yeah, we all know they got to stay that way. It's not a done deal for sure, but it looks like with five of them, hopefully one of them will work, right, at least. This is amazing. It's amazing. You know, I have to tell you all that. Okay, we got to stop everything for a second. I got to tell you, just a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, not long ago, I was sitting in a vehicle talking to a friend who knows about this stuff, knows where I'm at on it, knows the words I've been getting about the Antichrist and about the two witnesses and the whole thing about the transition and, you know, not passing this down to another generation. You know what I've been preaching for 2 or 3 years? We're not supposed to pass this down to another generation, right? We've been talking about, you guys, you've been with me, you know. And so if you'd have been sitting there in a car, you'd have been saying, yeah, that's true, you've been saying it. But what I said, God, what I need, just about 2 months ago, maybe less, I said, I need another level of confirmation that this is actually going on like you're showing me, because this is crazy. And then this happens. My God going, Randy, is that enough? Now do you believe? You threw the rod down and you took off running the other way. Come back and grab it by the tail. My God, I mean, I can hardly handle it. You know, and y'all are with me in this. I'm blaming y'all too, y'all. I got some agreement on at least some of it. I know y'all haven't always agreed with everything I said. Sometimes you rebuke me behind closed doors, which I don't blame you. I rebuke myself sometimes, in all truth. So we're all in this together. We're all rebuking ourselves, and yet we're watching God do it. So I don't know, what can you say about it? Huh? I'm just saying, come Lord Jesus. That's what I'm saying. I mean, my Lord and my God. Oh, okay. Dear God, help me, Jesus. We still got offerings of prayer over tonight, which I love doing. Whoo! Well, we pray for little Christian tonight, Nikki's grandbaby. And we just bless him, Jesus. Protect him, God. Provide for him, God. Little Cody. Bless Cody, God. Bless these young ones, these young people, God, in Jesus' name. Bless them. Keep them. Watch over them. Minister to them. Bring provision in for them, Father. Let's take care of business, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Provide, Lord. Provide everything that the cross provided. The reason we look to the cross and not to the world to provide for us, because Christ Jesus did everything on the cross to provide for us in this earth that he created. Amen. Provision for them, Father, in every area. Amen. All right. Christian and Cody, in Jesus' name. Lord, for Chris tonight. All right, there you go. Chris, Christian, there you go. Yeah, remember Chris from Texas, remember, I think for the $100, Chris from Texas, when I compared you to Christian, there it is again, right there, Christian and then Chris. So even though your name's not Christian, it's Christopher, but y'all remember that? I remember that. I remember all that stuff. Yeah. All right, thank you, Lord, for Chris, God. We thank you for multiplying him and increase him, restore everything that has been taken from him, restore it all, Father, and let the spirit of restoration be upon him. In Jesus' name, that nothing that's ever been lost, nothing that's ever been taken, nothing that's ever been, that's been even wasted through mistakes and failures, God, that you're going to restore all of it, that he will go after all of it, and like David went after all of it and got back what belonged to him and more. I thank you, Jesus, for that purpose, for that vision, for that promise of going after what belongs to you, that God has, you know, once God says it's yours, like when he told Abraham, Chris, that Canaan belonged to, you know, God and God's people for the future, all he had to do is go walk it out. He walked the land out. Once he did that, that's what God needed him to do. And that's why it was so important that Abraham did it. And then it became God's. Even though it wasn't his at the moment, because of Abraham's walk and going from leaving his mother and father and going to the land of Canaan and walking out the land, that's what actually connected God to it and gave God the access to it. Amen? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, that
amen, access to all that, access to everything, even the things that we don't have yet. My point with that was, I get lost here. The point with that word was that losing, that we, the things that we don't even have yet, that aren't actually X in our hands, we don't even know what we're going to have yet. But it's already been prepared. God has got you in the process of walking it out, and you're not even there yet, and yet it's yours. It's going to be yours. It's made for you, amen, to enter into that. And it's called restoration of the things that belong to you that are not even really in your possession. You don't even know anything about it. Like Abraham didn't know anything about the land of Canaan and even what God was doing exactly. But it was already, because Abraham was obeying him and going toward it, it became God's. Right, as he walked it out. He just needed an obedient servant when he walked it out. Okay, so same thing with you. It's like God restoring to you even things that you don't even know that are yours for the future. Amen. And through your obedience, like with Abraham, his obedience connected him to that, and then it became his. It's a matter of time. Amen. Everything restored. Everything restored. Not just the things that he had lost personally, but everything for the future that may be in the enemy's hands right now, or in the giant's hands, that actually belongs to Abraham or to his seed or to God. Amen. So future things that are in other people's hands are yours. All right, Noel, $100. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Jesus, for Noel. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for bearing with me, Noel, with that. You and Jeannie tonight helped me with that. That was a big help right in the middle of the show. We came up with some great answers, so that was awesome. Man, I mean, you know, 3 days later, you know, my goodness, that's mind-boggling. You know, after holding on to that, I don't know exactly how many years, I don't know even the exact, he gave it to me, but I know it's about 12 years ago when he gave me the name, but he wrote it before me, middle of the night, initials and then Rothschild. And so I know which one it was. Wow. It's just unbelievable. I just, you know, I'm getting it. I'm having to process it. You know, I believe it, but, I mean, I know I believe it. I know it's true because I've had so many things told to me, things I've never even revealed to some people or anybody, really, that, you know, I have to wait till the right time. And, wow, my Lord. Same thing with you. It's like God's showing you, Noah, how things he's showing you, things he's trying to tell you, like with he tried to tell, you know, Gideon, that man of mighty valor. He's looking like Noel, looking like, huh? You know? Oh, me? Yeah. Like, you know, and so the thing is that God knows that we're regular human beings. Yeah, we may have a great vision for things, but we failed. We made mistakes. We've gained. We've lost. So we're kind of like going, duh, where am I at? And the angel shows up and says, hey, mighty man of valor. You're going like, yeah, sometimes, but not really. Woo! And he has to convince him. That's just part of the process. People think it's like so carnal to have God convince you, but it's all through the Bible. It's all over the Bible. That's the way God has to do it. He has to do it with me. He's still doing it with me today about all this stuff about the Antichrist. You know, that was all an answer of prayer that I had a couple of months ago, asking God, I need some tangible information and confirmation, literal confirmation, not just some word from you. Thank you for the word. I always appreciate the word. But I need something to be tangibly coming to pass that literally can be seen, that everything you're telling me about, two witnesses, the end time, give me some manifestation. I've got to have some. That's what I said to him. And I have a friend that can confirm that to you, that I said that more than once. And look at this. I mean, look at this. This is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. All right. All right, Idrika, 111. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for Tyreek and Torrey. Torrey. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek, God. Thank you, Jesus, that that teaching Tyreek to roll with the punches when the punches come, to roll with them. not taking personal, not taking, you know, but being able to roll with the punches. This life has punches in it, and we learn to roll with them. We don't let them stop us. We don't let them, you know, we roll with them. We roll with them. We learn how to get up and go at it again, be persistent, and be never give up. And so God has to, you know, continually, you know, give you strength and courage. Then you learn to depend on his strength and courage, right? And you get knocked down and, you know, you just roll with the punches. Like, God's going to give you strength. It causes you to depend on him. It causes you to go, yeah, God, I just got knocked down. You know, some of the people in the Bible get knocked down too, dude. Man, you know what? They just decided, you know, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God says. And God would give them, and they learned to depend on God and God's strength, and God would strengthen them, and they would raise up through the horrible circumstances and just keep going on. Amen. Strengthen him, Lord. Show him your way. Bless this man of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Torre, Father, thank you for that $10 for Torre. Thank you, Jesus, for Torre. And the blessedness, God, to show him the blessed hope, the blessedness of God. That all he has to do is, Jesus has already paid for all the blessings. He doesn't have to pay for them. It's just a matter of the way you buy blessings. It's not with money or with sweat. It is with your faith. So God, show Torre how to extend and use his faith, currency, by faith, the grace, by faith. You enter into the promises of God. You enter into the kingdom. Right, so you break into the you enter into the kingdom, you know, with the payment Jesus has made already, and know that he's already paid for it. It's already been done. You just activate your faith and show him how to walk by faith, God, how to live off the word of God in Jesus' name, and the desires you give him, God, that you're turning your word into his own desires, where he desires these things. It's not just something he's trying to do and work at, but it's actually his passion, his desire. In Jesus' name, awaken those things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. SW Auto LLC, $50. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless Jesus and increase and multiply and cause every hindrance to be broken, God. And thank you, Lord, for every distraction, everything, God, that Enrique and those working with her, we'll be able to see through those distractions and see that the diamond in the rough, to have that anointing, that ability to see the diamond in the rough, to be able to see the blessing. Though it may look rough, may not look like the right thing, but they see the diamond in the rough and sell all they have, so to speak, to, you know, invest in that, or to, you know, to buy the land and get that diamond out of the rough in Jesus' name, get that jewel, that permanent blessing. Like Jacob did when he said, God, I'm blessed. I got a lot of things, but I want your blessing. Blessing meant he wanted it, you know, to be his, not just in the things he had, but in the blessing of God, that God's blessing be upon him, that whatever he touched, his hand, with his hands, was blessed. Amen. Yeah. All right, Chris, $27. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Father, we thank you for Chris, God, that everything that would rise up against him, God, you would show him that those things are used to show us our weaknesses. They're used to show us that without God we can't make it. Without God we will not make it. And Lord, I thank you that those times, like I talked with the other day, that when you studied about what the law was, the purpose of the law, when God gave the law to Moses, it was to make man, make every man a sinner. It wasn't to make man great. It was to make every man a sinner. That's why it was so pure. It was so pure that no man could do it. So therefore, it made every man a sinner. Therefore, Romans 6:23 says, you know, for all have sinned. How do they know that? Because when the law came and nobody could perform it, then everybody became sinners. Purposes of God's law and the things he does is to bring us to the point where we can't do it ourselves. And when we realize that, that's not a point of failure, complete failure. It's a point of going, okay, God, now I'm going to depend on you. And I thank you, Jesus, for Chris, falling upon your grace, falling upon your mercy, falling upon to tap into the wisdom of God and the grace of God, that you will strengthen him, you will empower him, God, in Jesus' name, to go to find that faithfulness that's inside of him, the faithfulness God has shown him in different ways. Amen. And bless him and keep him and watch over him, God. Cause him to step out of the boat, amen, and walk on the water, God. In Jesus' name, you can do it. Amen. And Drinka, $14.11, and she says, God is faithful again. Amen. Woo, that's been getting on me, girl. God is faithful part. You know, we say that, but I know you're experiencing it. And God's showing you, you know, that in spite of all of our efforts and everything we do, and, you know, even when we do everything, not do everything perfect, and everything's not just exactly, you know, I don't know anybody that does everything perfect, because we're made to not be able to do it perfectly. We're made to have to depend on him that he will finish it up. He will finish it. He will finish it if we just hang on to him. We just believe him and know he's going to do it. He finishes the job, and I thank you, Lord, for finishing the job. Turning the tables, God, in Jesus' name, and finishing the job. Amen. All right, Angela Joy, $123.22. Thank you, Angela Joy. Amen. Thank you, Father, for Angela. Thank you for taking her places. I see God really showing you, taking you places, taking you like when Abraham went to left his father's home and left his father's, you know, whatever, and went to a place God was going to show him. You know, he was able to move forward. He wasn't afraid to step out. He wasn't afraid to move out and go beyond what was comfortable into something that he didn't even know where he was going. That God has given you a faith to not fear what the unknown has, but to look. Some people are so afraid of the unknown, Angel of Joy, that they can't move forward. They're afraid of, I'll be able to step into the darkness. I don't know where I'm going. But with you, it's like this excitement of, you know, the treasures of the darkness, the treasures of not knowing where I'm going and not knowing what's going on, that I can trust God, that God can show me great and awesome things. You know, and so instead of being afraid of it, you love it, you want it, you crave it. And that's the season that we're in Jesus' name, where we're not going to know exactly every little step we're going. It's going to be a walk of faith with action. Not sitting there and letting fear get on us, but stepping out in faith in Jesus' name. Walking in faith, expanding, believing God in Jesus' name. Amen. Being persistent and keeping our eyes on Jesus, knowing that when we go with him, we can go anywhere. We can travel. We can move in the spirit. We can go anywhere. We're not limited to the boat, where the boat can take you. You can walk on the water. Amen. That unlimited realm, God, in Jesus' name. That Peter was curious about. Oh, yeah, I want to walk on the water. He wanted to, man. It's like he's like going, you know, give me the opportunity, Jesus. He said, can I come? He goes, yeah, come on, Peter. And, man, he's like going, wow, I can do this, man. Because I got Jesus with me. And he did it. And he walked on it. It's amazing. He got a taste of it. That's what that was. It was a taste. He got a taste of that. Nobody's ever walked on water they've ever seen, you know, before besides him and Jesus. I've never heard of anybody actually walking on water. It's amazing, unique. Special miracle realm. Amen. Just be able to step out into it. Can't be afraid, right? And that's you, in Jesus' name. All right, Daniel, $125. Thank you, Daniel, for that $125 in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. Thank you, Lord, you showed Daniel what the real blessings are. The real blessings are obedience to God and doing what God says. Amen. And wanting our rewards from the Father and not just from people. To be a man pleaser, to be a people pleaser, but always looking to please the Father, you know, even if it costs us somebody getting mad at us, upset with us, that we are willing to pay that price for we don't fear man, but we fear God, and because God is always he's always testing me. One time he spoke to me like almost it wasn't audible, but it seemed audible. It was so strong. He said, "The fear of man grieves me more than anything." I'm going like, oh, yeah, Lord, I know some people like that. And eventually, it took a few weeks for him to show me. And it was hard. But he said, no, I'm talking to you. He's talking to me. I said, you're talking to me, Mr. Bold, Mr. This? Are they gonna... Yeah, you know, every time you failed, Randy, it's because you feared what people thought about you. I had to take a hard look. It was hard to look. I said, a hard look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, ouch. Yeah. Oh, wow. Lord, forgive me. because it grieved him more than the fear of man, doing what man thinks, doing what afraid to do what God wants because of what people think. It's a thing that everybody deals with to a certain degree. Oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm a nutbag. They're going to think I'm a fanatic. You know, okay, well, whatever. You know, like, I just had to, like, learn to get over that stuff and do what God said, and that God would take care of me. God would show them and give them a desire to do the same thing, because when I stepped out and did it, then they wanted to start stepping out and doing it. So I just was a leader. I led the way. And that's what you're called to do. You're called to lead the way on those things. Amen. And fear God rather than man. Amen. And not be afraid of what men can do, but only what God can do. Hallelujah. Amen. And walk in that realm of pure faith. And if God will, when you fear only God, then God will fight the people for you. If they need to be fought, he will fight them. We don't have to. That's what's so powerful about it. He'll take up for us. He loves to take up for us, man. I mean, he loves it. He loves for us to let him do it. All right. Hang on a second. All right, Nicole. Give me a second. All right, Nicole, 367-97. Thank you, Nicole, for that. We just bless you, Nicole, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being a part of PGN. Thanks for doing your teachings. I know that you worked really hard at that, and I know you love it at the same time. You know, thank you, Jesus, that she will see this as a jewel work, a work of the reward of from just doing the labor and the work and being persistent and being, you know, doing it under the Lord. And God's really using this to show you that he's already given you confirmation of the September 4th thing when you were announced. We put out the text. You're but the Antichrist, 666, is where you were at in the book of Revelation. And, you know, and so that was on the 4th of September. You sent to me, I knew I had it by text. It's on my phone, documented. But I just hadn't looked yet to see when you said that. I went, oh, my gosh. And then on the 8th, you know, the queen died, and the Antichrist thing opened up. And then the 5 red heifers show up in Israel 3 days later after we revealed the name of the Antichrist. That, my friend, is mind-boggling. And it shows you, I think it shows you, that God has purpose for you to be a part of this, as you already know, but he's confirming it to you to dig down deeper in him to know that he's with you, that he's showing you. If you need to correct anything, you can correct it. You know, it's not everything we're doing. It's not everything I'm doing. God is always correcting me. And so it doesn't confirm that we're perfect. It just confirms that we're in the right place, right? That's what God showed us. Randy, you know, you're doing the right, you're pursuing my heart, and you're allowing me to show you the way and teach you. And you know, when God confirms us, he's not confirming all of our doctrine, all of our belief system. He's confirming us. He's more interested in us than he is what we, you know, like some of the things I believe had just been wrong, and I didn't know it, you know. And he says, you know, hey, I love you for you. And because you have a heart for me, you allow me to teach you and grow. And because you're a teacher, Nicole, the great teacher can teach you because you know what right teaching is about, what good teaching is about. And so God's showing you that he's with you. It's about you he's with. Amen? And that's the beauty of this thing, is that he's focusing on Nicole. Yeah, on Nicole. This is about Nicole. I'm with Nicole. And really showing you that, and really blessing you, and showing you that you're in the right place, and God is having you do the right thing, in Jesus' name. And that's really, really awesome to know. I just have a hard time believing it's so amazing what God is doing and using you for it with that stuff. It's just really cool. All right, hang on a second. Now we got a Jeannie. Gave 250 and then 200, which is 450. We thank you, Lord, for that 450. For Jeannie, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for blessing her, God. I thank you for you know, her obedience to you and hanging in there and sticking with it. And, you know, just sometimes we get tested and, you know, not everything is perfect. You know, like I said, talking with Nicole, not everything's perfect. Not everything, you know,
you know, some things I talk about, not everybody always believes everything I say. You know, it's like that's what God's teaching us how to do. He's teaching us how to love one another for being God's children, not because we have everything perfect. If we're God's children, we have covenant with one. We have the same blood. We may not know everything. I don't know that I know everything. I know I don't know everything. But what he shows me, I know, you know. And we learn to love each other because we see that we each want to change and whatever God wants to do. And so if I have in a business, in a partnership with somebody, and I see that they're never going to learn, they're real stubborn. But once I see that they've learned some things that I thought they need to learn, but they didn't think they need to learn, and all of a sudden they learned about it, and I see that they have an ability to learn, I'd be shocked. Oh, my God. Look at that. They just knew they knew, and then they found out they didn't know it, and they changed. That gives me hope that we can be friends, that we can, that, you know, things can be good, and we're all going to change. And knowing that we're all changing, that God is changing us, that we're changeable, workable, and that gives us hope that if I have people who have bad attitudes, and I really love God, and they're changeable, hey, you know, one of these days it's going to change and it's all going to be good. But it gives me hope for the future. And God is putting hope in you, Jeannie, for the future of hanging out with people who are not perfect, don't have everything together, like the disciples, the 12 disciples of Jesus. I mean, they argued and they fought and they talked and they did all kinds of things. You know what? But they all loved each other because they all loved Jesus. They had that one thing in common. They loved Jesus. And they knew he was the Messiah. You know, what are we here at PGN? You know, we all have different things, stuff going on. But some of we don't agree with each other and stuff, whatever. But you know what? We have that same agreement on the prophetic realm and what God is saying in the future and the things that have already been done by God through the prophetic realm and pure PGN. I think we're all connected. We're all connected by God. Amen. And that's the kind of, it's the same thing that happened back in the days of Jesus with the disciples. They were just like, they were constantly arguing with each other. I don't think we do that too much here at PGN, but I don't agree with everything everybody says. Are you kidding me? Yeah, and if I don't like it, if I get the approval to talk about it, I will, you know, just to state my opinion, you know, about it. And but I'm teachable. And that gives people hope when they see that Randy is teachable. You know, are you teachable? Of course you are. Is Nicole teachable? Of course she is. Is Daniel teachable? Is Angela George teachable? Is Chris teachable? Or is Enrique? All these people, are they teachable? That's what we're looking at. Are they teachable? If they are, we have hope that we can all change into the image of Jesus Christ and get lost in him, and love him and worship him, and God using you to release the worship anointing, that we can worship Jesus and keep worship keeps your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing and genie to bring people to a place to want to worship God. Hallelujah. Anointing her, blessing her. Amen. Texas, the Texas stuff. All the Texas stuff is going to be really big. Really big. I can't wait. I don't know about other people's states, but I'm sure that God has prophets in every state, and they'll start talking, and we'll hear what they have to say, and we'll all join together. Amen. It'll be awesome. All right, Shannon, $15. Thank you, Shannon. I don't know if you sent me a thing on that. All right. We pray for connection with my wife. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that wife thing, God, and that mate and that thing that just picture Adam. When Adam, all he had was a bunch of animals. They were awesome animals, too, like the deer and the antelope and the beautiful zebras and the gorillas and the giraffes. I mean, all the animals, they were just that big, dogs and the kitty cats. And all, they were beautiful creatures. You're like, well, Lord, you know, what about me? I need a mate. You can just hear God, Shannon, going, hey, Lord, what, you know, I got all these creatures, but is one of these, you know, what am I supposed to have? You know, like he didn't even know. What am I supposed to have? And he brought them all before him, and he goes, no, none of that works. None of that works. And he said, so he put him asleep and made one out of his rib. So we thank you, Jesus, for that sleep, that sweet sleep that Shannon got out of his rib, can bring that woman out of his rib, God, be connected. And finally Adam goes, yeah, man, fit just for me, just what I need. Where I'm weak, she's strong. And where she's weak, I'm strong. We need each other. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening that up for me. Amen. Forming somebody and shaping somebody just for me, God. Open that up for him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let it open up. Amen. All right, y'all. I think, is that it for the night? You want a second? I'll be right back. I'm back. All right, anybody got any questions before we go, before we end the show tonight? Anything you want to know? Thank you, Noel. Yes, a great night. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for your interaction with me, and thanks for your patience with all the stuff we deal with here. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And God is good, and we're going to learn and grow, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to fail, and, you know, I'm not trying to be perfect, although I'd like to be. I'm working on it. God has to help me. He's helping me. Oh, there's Jeff and you just gave 120. Oh, Jeff and you just gave 120. Thank you, Jeff and you. Amen. I just thought I heard the phone ring. Ding. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 120. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you, God. Thank you for their hearts to serve. You keep showing Jeff that about Thailand and all the Thai people. And I think, God, what he's doing, Jeff, is he's nurturing you in that that servanthood thing to, you know, and then translating servanthood into Christ, serving under Christ's power, serving under Christ's kingship, under Christ's authority, and how Jesus really is, what kind of servant he is, how that when you think about, most people don't really think about Jesus, but, you know, really he's washing our feet, you know, in a sense, he's hearing us whine and cry. He hears us complain. I mean, he hears us. You know, he understands. He weeps for us. You know, he tries to send help for us when we fail, like when Abraham failed time and time again. You know, he said, I'm going to protect you, Abraham. I'm going to curse those that curse you and bless those that bless you. Okay, God, gotcha. And, you know, 2 days later, he's over there now. You know, Sarah, we're going to have to protect ourselves over here because these guys are going to come after you and they're going to kill me and I don't want to die. You know, I got to protect myself. So, you know, failure. I mean, she and Sarah got together. Let's have a child. Just, you know, this is God. It was not God. It was a failure. It was a mess up, you know. And yet Jesus, God was watching over him, trying to help him, knowing that, you know, we mess up and we don't do so great. And yet he's right there compassionately working and helping and bringing the promise in spite of his failure. In spite of Abraham's failure, people say Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man of failure. I mean, he failed major, big time with failures that we're still dealing with today. But he changed because God showed him his faithfulness. Man, I don't know if you ever hear that message the other night, Jeff, but that was, I think God's really going to breathe it into you. You know, it's just like we got to identify with the Bible, but the real way, not some fantasy thing, but the real Bible, the real Abraham. Abraham was screwed up. he was You know, he was a good man, a guy, but he was, as far as doing God's will perfectly, he was messed up, man, big time. But God understood that. God understands. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to be faithful to you. Every time he messes up, God will be right there to be faithful. Be right there to be faithful. It flopped and, well, yeah, you know, brought a curse on the Pharaoh after, and Pharaoh didn't do anything wrong. I mean, that was really bad. Pharaoh did nothing wrong, and yet God cursed him, you know, for a short time. That was really, really all Abraham's fault. Totally. Bringing a curse on somebody, and he was like, you know, holding the bag. That's just, I mean, does that sound like a successful person to you? Not to me. But God was successful, and he kept showing him, I'm with you. When you blunder, I'm going to show my faithfulness to you, my glory to you, my grace to you. I think God's really going to breathe that into you, and you and Uke, and show you guys, you know, it's his favor, it's his mercy, it's his tender, loving compassion, that he's putting that in you. And our humanness, he's showing us our humanness, that that's what he's there for. That's what grace is all about. That's what Paul the Apostle had to live off of, was the grace from being, why did God show him his grace? Unmerited, undeserved favor. He had to learn to depend on it. Yeah. And God's doing the same thing with you. Not do anything different than you than he did with Abraham or Paul. Yeah. Abraham and Paul. Hallelujah. Yeah. So just consider yourself, you know, like Abraham or Paul. And we'll look at the reality. We can't get too big-headed about that, right? Because, you know, I mean, like, you know, they just messed up, man. He was killing people and thinking he's doing God a favor. He was messed up. Boy, he was messed up. But, you know, God says, man, I like this guy. God likes people that are just, you just never know who God's going to like. That's for sure. Violent, murdering Christian person, murdering Christians, you know, and think he's doing God a favor. And he said, man, I really like this guy. We're going to have to get him saved. You know, like, boy, God's choices. I mean, the way he looks at stuff is amazing. And God's showing you, Jeff, how to look at things. To look at things like if you'd have seen Saul, if you looked at it through God's eyes, everybody else is like, oh, afraid of him, and he's going to kill everybody. You'd be looking at him, when you look at somebody through God's eyes, going, oh, my God, look, we need this guy. Instead of, like, running from him, and, oh, my God, get away. No, Jeff is going like, yeah, we need this guy. Get that guy, God. We need him. Knock him off his horse. Yeah. We need this guy, you know, and be able to see things the way God sees them instead of the fearful things that men show. And, you know, yeah. So open that up, God, and bless them. Bless Yuki as she continues to pursue. I don't know what's all going on with the Thailand thing, but I believe in God for you to do miracles, God, blessings, that you at the right time, all things are going to work together at the right time, the right season. And you're talking about times and seasons with them. In Jesus' name, and opening up times and seasons for them, God, to walk in and pursue you, God, that we know that all things, sometimes people, things don't work out until timing. So when the timing comes, it's like it's time to reveal the Antichrist, you know. That's all happened now. We can see it. It's mind-boggling. Happened right here at PGN. I mean, we're right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. Yeah, and yet it's all about timing. I've been trying for 10 years, believing God. When can we show who the Antichrist is? Dear God, what's going on? I didn't even know how I was going to know. How am I going to know? Is he going to show up at the temple and go, yep, there he is? I mean, I didn't know. Honest to God, I didn't know. Didn't have a clue. And then one day, boom, mind-boggling. God just did.